welcome to PFW in Progress. I guess there's something wrong with the computer today, so we didn't have our traditional opening and warning. Everything said on this show may not be agreeable to everybody. Adult content, I don't know what it is.
Don't blame us for what we say.
Right. Yeah, don't blame us for what these idiots say, pretty much is what it is.
So yeah, but I'm the idiot.
So what's going on?
Something's wrong with the computer. It's just not, it's when I tried to play the open, it just sounded like all garbled.
So what about another open?
I tried to play the Office Space one. It's the computer. It's not.
Are you sure it's not you?
I'm sure it's not me. I'm listening to the stream right now.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, we're here. PFW in Progress, 12 to 2. It's Wednesday at Gillette Stadium. It is freezing. We're in the teens, I think. And I think it's going to get down to like maybe minus 2 tonight.
Yes.
You know?
Re-goddamn-ridiculously cold.
The polar vortex. So what does that mean for Saturday? Latest I heard is mid-20s.
Right.
Mid to upper 20s,
yeah,
maybe?
Upper 20s could fall into the low 20s, maybe even touch the teens. But I think mid to low 20s is what the game is going to be. It's going to be cold, but they're the Ravens. They're the Patriots. No tangible effect or advantage, in my opinion, for either side. I mean, the players, just watching them dress is funny. You know, like, they're almost all of them have the head cover, the black, with just the open.
Right.
Brady has been wearing those scuba gear type gloves. I was talking with you yesterday. He has a whole stack of boxes with different types of gloves in his locker, and there's, you know, rain, cold, neoprene, silicone. I think he's wearing the neoprene this week. But, you know, all the players are talking about with each other is how cold it's going to be and how they're dressing to deal with the cold out there, basically.
Okay.
I even joked, I was also joking with Stephen Gostkowski. Have you heard anything about these trivia apps that are apparently all the rage now on the phones?
No.
It's, you go trivia back and forth somehow on an app. And they're all I've heard, you know, teenagers using them, my mother's using them, and Ninkovich walks out of the equipment room and goes, Gostkowski, did you play me yet? Who won? So he had to go to his phone and play a round of trivia, and he lost.
Is it general trivia?
Yes, it's general trivia, because I said,
who's, like it?
I said, who's the best in here? He goes, probably Wendy. I go, how about Mesko? Is he? I know he's not here anymore. He goes, it seems like he'd be good at it. You'd be surprised. Apparently he's not quite the intellectual that he paints himself to be.
I'm surprised they didn't say, we've lost his number.
But I joked, you're going to bring your phone out to play trivia?
What's it called?
Well, apparently there's trivia more than one. Because there's a famous one, and then they're playing a different one now. They've moved on.
Okay.
But I joked, you bring in your phone out to play some trivia, sneak it out there, and he goes, I'd rather sneak out a bonfire.
Do they have, it's the one that, like, the wheel spins, and that's how you pick the category that it's in?
I don't know. I didn't want to get too close and, like, eavesdrop on his phone.
Yeah, I don't actually play the games. I'm usually sitting in the room, and then, you know, the kids ask me a question.
Oh.
And then his Eeyore personality came out, and he goes, oh, I lost. And I said something. And he goes, well, you're timed, so you get more points the earlier you... So of course, I always jump the gun, kind of like the rest of my life. It turned into like this like psychoanalysis I felt like we were going to have together.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. As you would expect, a large amount of media here. You know, there's only eight teams left, only four games this weekend.
And I believe all the media is here.
Yeah.
We had some of the Nationals, Jarrett Bell, Jeff Dart.
Yeah,
Darlington.
Actually, your guy,
Michelle Steele from ESPN,
your friend, Mike Florio, will be here tomorrow and Friday doing his show live from our smaller studio.
Well, any chance we can get him on?
Maybe.
He's going to be over there?
Right. At the exact same time we're doing our show.
We need to get him on
and see if he has any balls.
Okay.
Well, what I'd be really curious at,
because I won't be unprofessional.
Wait a minute.
But I'm going to remind him of who I am and what went on.
Please don't be taking this the wrong way. I don't mean this to be disrespectful. What I would be really curious to see if he has any knowledge of this. Like, because he contacted you, did he not?
Oh, he definitely,
unless he's
a moron.
If he feigns ignorance,
right,
that's a little bit disingenuous.
And don't tell him. Just ask him if he'll come on.
Yeah.
But don't tell him the whole history.
Yeah.
When then we'll go at him on the air.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing the show at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be able to come on, but I want to facilitate this meeting.
Well, maybe Kevin can just connect the two rooms,
and I can ask him if I can be unblocked.
So,
can you unblock me?
So
why did I block
you?
Because I said that you said that Terry Bradshaw was dead.
Big doings
the
here.
Truth is never mean, Mike.
Hey, I had an idea that it was kind of an epiphany. For let's just say you're someone who, if your team went to the Super Bowl, you'd want to go. You know, you'd love to go, but right now in your bank account, maybe you have a quarter of the money that it would take, or half the money it would take, you know, because you did the budget.
So you're deciding between paying the mortgage and going to the Super Bowl.
So what you do is that money that you have,
let it ride.
Yeah, just start betting on your team, and every week double down.
Seems like a good idea to you.
No, but you have.
So not
that
only
money
did your team lose and not go to the Super Bowl, but you
can't even say, well, at least I have the money in the bank that I would have wasted on the Super Bowl.
But that's it. You were going to waste it anyway. So if your team ends up losing in the AFC Championship, all right. But if you win, now you've got all the money you need.
Wasting it is gambling it, and your team loses, and you lost your money. If your team wins and you spend it on the joy of going to the Super Bowl, you didn't waste it.
You're missing my point. You were planning on you were willing to spend this on the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, but you really shouldn't have, based on the way you explained it.
You don't have the money, but for a once in a lifetime experience, you'll spend it.
Right, and I'm willing.
But you don't have it,
and I'm willing to risk what I have to get there. It's like a savings account that I didn't get to use it. I lost, you know. I think this makes sense in your head. I would do that if I really wanted to go.
You don't see the difference between losing the money on the trip that, as Andy said, at least you could say, well, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I spent money that I probably shouldn't have on something frivolous, but it was worth it. I went to see my team, the Patriots, playing the Super Bowl.
No, you compound it.
As compared to, I don't really have the money to go, so I'm going to let it ride. Now my team lost, and I spent money I got nothing, absolutely nothing out of.
No, I think it's worth the investment. I think it's worth the risk. Because, you know,
I think you're insane.
I absolutely do. Even if, like, you have the money.
I agree.
Even if you have the money, you could afford it, but you really don't want to spend it. Start earning it through betting for your team.
Well, that's different.
You know?
If you're going to sit there and say, like, you know, like the three of us. I mean, none of us are wealthy, but we have enough money to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't.
Please. You have more money than both of us together. Oh. Tip us upside down, shake every last coin out.
Which one of us drives a Lexus? That'd be you. Which one of us has an in-ground pool? That'd be you. Which one of us has Bose speakers throughout the house? That'd be you.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any money.
hey, you notice how he didn't get to the acres of land?
He has acres of land, too.
I don't
know. Not like you.
Yes, he does.
Please.
You are rich.
Yeah.
You are rich.
The only people that can dress as ridiculously as you are rich people.
You could fit my property on yours and look like a little dime.
It's a bad idea, and I would urge all of our
listeners would be
to
like
ignore
a little pin.
I think it's a great idea. Because
if yours would be a dime, mine would be a pin mark.
You're letting it ride with your team. If they're in, you're in.
Yeah, so. If you had the money, then that's kind of cool. You say,
but
like,
if they're out, you're doubly out.
I'm going, and I'm going to try to get there for free.
Right. Exactly.
But the way you're describing is you don't have the money.
No, listen, if you can't afford to lose it, don't ever bet anything. I always
if you only have $250 bucks in the bank, you can't afford to lose it.
Right, right, exactly.
So then your idea falls on
No, it doesn't.
Flat.
My thing with betting is you expect to lose, so if you can't afford to lose, don't bet, period. This isn't what I'm talking
about. Wouldn't the opposite of what you're saying make more sense? Bet against your team, so if they win, you're excited they're in the Super Bowl. If they lose, you have more money.
Yeah, but you're still losing money along the way.
No, if you bet against your team and they lost, you've won.
Some would call it a no-lose situation.
Right. I think he's going to lose-lose situation.
No. I that's what I would do.
Set up, if you lose the bet, you have a lose-lose situation.
Right.
You're pissed that you lost your bet, and you're pissed that your team lost.
Right.
Well, isn't that the same with any time you bet? But this is your betting
toward a goal. I don't think a lot of people bet on the team that they love most.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, I think most people do.
I think the better idea.
I don't think real gamblers do. I think people like me, I do that all the time.
That I agree with.
The real gamblers
don't bet
with their heart.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. You're
guys
right.
Like me who sort of, you know, fool around. I'll bet on the Patriots. I'll bet on the different teams that I like. And, you know, like I told you, what did I tell you? When I was a senior in high school, the Patriots were the first time they went to the Super Bowl. 2 weeks. I'm telling you, the moment the AFC Championship game ended, I said they have absolutely no shot in hell of beating the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. By the time the Super Bowl came, I was in guns blazing. I put a couple hundred on the Patriots. I mean, I was a senior in high school. I had a couple hundred on the Patriots. It's the dumbest bet I ever made. I bet with my heart.
It really was the dumbest bet
I bet
you
with
ever
my.
Made.
I totally bet with my heart.
Right.
I need to make a quick public service announcement.
Yep.
A very generous woman who donated to my marathon fundraising last year emailed me earlier this week, is coming to the game and was hoping to get together and say hello. I accidentally lost her email. I don't know what happened. I'm not going to say her name on the air because I don't know if she wants it broadcast everywhere. But if you are indeed listening, email me again. I'd be more than happy to try to pregame, postgame, find a way to get in touch with you, meet up. But I apologize. I somehow lost your email.
Okay. I'm just going to say this about that. If this scenario was reversed, you would be a lot meaner than I just was.
To who?
To me.
Shut the hell up.
Just saying.
You shut the hell up and move on.
All right. So what do we got here?
I don't know. We have a topic that I don't know if we can talk about.
Well, then topic? Maybe we should.
I don't know if we can talk
about it. Well, it happened in open locker room.
Well.
Ignoring the noise?
Yeah. Well, let's just look. I don't think it's any secret that the Patriots listen to what's being said and use that for motivational fodder.
And as reported by Adam Schefter against the Dolphins, they used some of it on the video screens in the locker room.
Right. And that was, and we know that's happening this week.
Right.
Right. So the Patriots are in tune with the naysayers, and they're using that this week, as they do probably every week.
Right.
Especially when you get into the playoffs.
They're fighting the same people you're fighting, basically.
Right. And Jeff in Vegas sent out a tweet that the line is actually dropping.
Two?
It's now down to seven. So the money is, coming in with Baltimore. Right?
Yes, because I believe it was eight.
Yeah.
I believe it opened at 7.5, but I thought I saw eight. Yeah. Andy thought he saw seven. But I'm pretty sure it opened at 7.5. So if it's seven, then that dropped.
Yeah. So, and no one would know better than
Jeff
in Vegas.
If we're going to just dabble in the gambling talk for just a minute, if you just make a bet with your guy, whoever your guy
that
is.
Paul does no longer have a guy.
I don't have a guy, but that would not drop the spread.
No. Where's his number come from? Does he set his own? Does he use the same place all the time?
Yeah, they use a couple services out of Vegas.
The real ones, I use the term loosely with air quotes, the reputable ones. Would generally do what Fred said. They would go by Vegas.
A lot of guys
toy with the spreads and they play with them based on what they're getting.
Right.
You know, it's a microcosm.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
If you got Joey the Nose, you know, from the North End, who's putting out a number and he has 100 clients and 90 of them are betting on Baltimore, he's going to adjust his line.
And that's what I
kind
of...
And he should.
Well, I was kind of asking that because obviously...
It's a business.
You know, if you're in the North End, you have a geographical bias in your
right.
customers, your clientele. And I was just wondering if they stuck with Vegas, which is global, basically, or at least national. I just wondered how they...
Well, it's all for entertainment purposes. Anyway.
I can tell you...
because it's entertainment
I can
to win
tell you
money
back in the day when I was sort of interested in this stuff, and in all honesty, I talk about it all the time. I was never really doing it myself a lot. But
you
I
had
have
friends, right?
I do. I have Well, my brother was really into it, too. I mean...
Hey, Rich, look out for that bust.
Well, it's a common story. I believe I've told it already on this show.
I'm sure he appreciates it, too.
Yes.
Any other of his skeletons or baggage you'd like to air?
You talk about cold turkey. He doesn't bet anymore, I'll tell you that.
Because he can't?
He just doesn't.
No, but I mean, like, he can't.
No, I just think that was it. Like, he got burned, and he was like, yeah, I don't need to be doing that. Anyway, they used to...
What an a-hole you are.
Used to chase all the time. You know, like you were down on the, you know, if you bet college football on Saturday and all of a sudden the Sunday games come and you're chasing and you're losing. And then, you know, you put it all in the Monday night game because
right.
you're trying to get it back and whatever. What they used to do when they had a really big bet, my brother and his friends, if they were down a lot and they needed a big score, they would search around to different guys. You know, you had, you know, Pickles over there and Joey the Nose over there. And this guy had it at 5 and that guy only has it at 4.5 and you try to find that sweet spot, and,
yeah.
you know, Jeff in Vegas talks about that
right.
all the time. And that's how you could luck your way back into making the money. And you could do that because guys played around with the numbers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said,
okay.
I'm not really in that game.
A more on-point topic, Fred, that I have found interesting. Torrey Smith believes he is going to be matched up with Brandon Browner. You know, we've been discussing
right.
the matchups,
right.
and he just flat out said that's what he expects to see. And everybody has run with it. I saw other stories that just assumed that Revis is going to see a whole lot of Steve Smith in this game. And I find it weird from a New England perspective. Where is that coming from, that Torrey Smith just – and Is it an angle? Is he playing an angle? Is this they told him to do it so maybe they can influence what the Patriots do? Because if the Patriots think we're preparing for this, then they'll switch it. I find that dynamic that has evolved over the last day very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it could be any of those things, and it could be as simple as, you know, these guys talk, the wide receivers talk amongst themselves, and they're saying, oh, Revis and Brown, Brown is probably going to line up against me. And that's probably just, it could be just them talking amongst themselves and assuming that, you know?
Yeah, I just found it very weird how open he was and definitive that he was going to see Brown.
It is odd.
And you can't even
use
the Dean Pease thing because he was here so long ago. They didn't have even a Tlaib, never mind a Revis back then. It was a different defense, different personnel makeup.
Right.
So that matchups weren't as big a topic or an obvious thing.
Right. And they never had the two totally different types
right.
like they do now anyway.
So
Revis and Brown are so
different.
I
don't think it's a Peasian thing.
Peasian.
Is that not right? I would say Belichickian, so
that
I said
works.
Pisan.
Yeah, that works.
Not Pisan, Pisan. No. And it flies in the face, I think, of what at least, I don't know where you fall on this, what Paul and I think. Paul and I seem to have agreed on, we would put Browner on Steve Smith, senior, the more physical. He'll be junior at
the end of the game.
And the better corner on the big play, dangerous, young, fast guy, Torrey Smith.
So if one of those matchups needs over-the-top help, which one gets it?
Well, I always assume Browner needs more help, no matter
who
he's
covering.
That's
what I'm thinking, too, yeah.
But I also, I'm not a big fan of counting on the over-the-top help, because I've seen the over-the-top help fail too many times that I don't trust over-the-top help in general. I think it's hard to do. I mean, it doesn't have to be an obvious missed tackle like McCourty. Like, think back to the Super Bowl.
Especially
Patrick Chung was supposed to get there. Mm-hmm. Patrick Chung is a hair late. A good throw comes down the sideline. It's hard to do sometimes to time
that. I just worry, you know, look, either one of those could work and either one of those could get burned. I worry about Smith downfield and Browner having to stay with him.
Which one?
Which Smith?
The senior, the smaller one.
See, I don't.
See, I'm totally the opposite.
Me too.
I worry about Torrey Smith downfield.
Steve Smith can make plays
I do
downfield.
Too, but if Browner is on Steve Smith,
I would worry about Steve.
Past the line of scrimmage.
I would worry about Steve
See,
Smith.
I worry about
against
Steve
Browner,
Smith.
Yes.
I worry about them both downfield, but I don't think that Steve Smith's going to hurt you short that much. I think where he could hurt the Patriots is making that athletic play downfield, fighting for a jump ball. Or
See,
whatever.
I would worry about
well, the
that
fighting
too.
Part, but. To me, and in my one-on-one chat with Brandon Browner yesterday for Patriots Football Weekly on Thursday night's 7:30 Comcast, he basically said, you know, Torrey Smith is maybe the fastest in the NFL. How do you cover a deep ball with him? Top down. You can't let him get behind you. That's not Brandon Browner's game. If
That's
he's thinking, I got to get deep and can't let him get by me, that takes him out of his game at the line of scrimmage because he's not fast enough to bump, be physical, and run with him down the field. I don't like the fact that I could be taking him out of his whole mindset of what the way he traditionally plays corner, and that's basically what he said to me if he's matched up on Torrey Smith. I just think it's a horrific matchup.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would worry about Steve Smith too, Fred, because I do think he competes and he fights for the ball and he can get downfield. Not as well as Torrey Smith does.
No.
And but, I don't think it's even close.
But Revis is better. So, you know, it's that trade-off. I think
that's
Torrey
why Smith, I want Revis yeah, on Torrey Smith,
exactly.
Because Torrey Smith is better.
But I still worry about the other side.
I would.
Well,
I would. Listen,
they're both productive. They're both good.
Yeah, I would not look at them and say, I have two good corners. I don't worry about their wide receivers. They have two good wide receivers. Yeah.
This isn't like the Owen Daniels. You know, put Brown on Owen Daniels. I don't really care about Owen Daniels. Like Paul said, he may catch 7 for 70.
I think
is
Owen
he
going to
beat me? I don't feel like he's going to beat me.
I think Owen Daniels could have a good game on
Sunday. If Torrey Smith catches 3 for $140, he could beat you.
Yeah, I think they're going to switch it up, though. I don't think you're going to see, you know, exclusivity. I think it's going to be based on
what Torrey Smith thinks, though.
What the situation is in the game, what the lineup, where they line up.
What's funny about that is I think that's less.
Do you have fuzz in your ear?
No.
Oh, I always do.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I've had that since,
third grade.
No, since they did this, the new remote. When I immediately heard, when you told me that what they expect, it's not as big a deal what they're expecting, who they're expected to get covered by, as opposed to if their corner said, well, yeah, I'm going to have Julian Edelman all day. And the other corner said, yeah, I got Brandon LaFell all day. That could potentially be something. Well, now the Patriots, even you played your hand, you know how they're telling you how they think you're going to cover them.
Right.
If they're not right, nothing ventured, nothing lost.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I mean, whoever's covering you, you got to beat them.
But why do you say it? I'm looking.
That's
I'm
why
the
I think
Frank
they
Kirsch
might,
approach.
That's why I think they might have tried to plant a seed.
What is to be gained by him saying it? What is his angle of saying it?
Maybe they don't want the matchup that they said, and they're
right.
trying to prevent the Patriots from using that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
for Torrey
yeah,
Smith,
saying,
I'm expecting to see Revis or Brown. What
but
did
he's
say?
Saying
he
Browner,
Browner,
and we're saying we think that's a bad matchup for the Patriots. So shouldn't Torrey Smith want Browner and say, "Oh, I can just run right by him"?
I don't know.
So why would he not want the matchup that we think is a bad matchup?
I don't know. I just don't think it's as big a deal as if it had been the defensive guys.
You're right.
It.
It's not. No question. But I think it's very interesting that it's so definitive.
It's really interesting
in a league and a big game where they don't give anything away. We're not going
right.
to tip our. They cover their mouths so that no one could read the play call. But he's telling me who he expects
well,
to run against.
I think either way, whether it's the cornerback or the wide receiver, if you know the guy you're going up against, every guy has techniques. Every guy has tells. Every
oh
guy
right.
Ha-
he so, went so far as to say yeah. he's studying more Browner film this week
right.
than Revis.
Right. Yeah.
If that's true, then he is like. Kind of all in.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
It's an odd thing.
I can't buy it. I can't imagine he is going with the, well, I'm going against Browner, so I'm not even going to watch much Revis. I'll watch a little just in case. But
speaking of Browner, Sam in London writes in, it's a pre-mail because I'm going to be in theater this afternoon helping remove someone's anal cancer. Cue Andy making some joke about removing Eric from PFW.
Wait a minute.
He's in theater?
Yeah, removing
that's
cancer.
What they call it when you're in the operating room.
Oh,
in
really?
England, you're in theater.
So this guy's a doctor?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh? And he's actually
and
removing
never,
anal
I
cancer?
I never heard that term.
Theater.
Yeah.
It makes it sound so much classier and less...
Well, back in the day, you would have your operation. They'd actually have seating above it.
Three.
And you would watch.
Two. Go ahead, Paul.
They have that.
Oh. Oh, that's not what I was looking for. I thought for sure, because one of like the four episodes I've seen... There's
Seinfeld?
A candy.
Oh, Seinfeld, yeah.
Junior Mint.
And
the
I thought
teaching,
for sure
who doesn't like Junior Mint?
The teaching hospital still has it.
I think, yeah, they still do that.
It's very refreshing.
He called theater.
But about Browner, he says, just wondering, what
no,
do you guys think of the reffing last weekend? We, especially Andy, have been saying that Browner will be fine in the postseason as the refs let things go more. But judging by the amount of laundry on the field last weekend, it seems like there's been a conscious effort by the league for that not to happen. Rutrow.
Browner feels that way too, by the way.
Yeah, I felt like flags were flying.
Yeah,
and Browner noticed.
And we can get into the argument of why they were flying and who's telling them to fly and all this crap.
Well, they were flying until it was time to make
they
sure
were
that
flying.
One team didn't lose.
They were certainly flying, and maybe they, you know, now I'll go. Well, you know, that's wild card weekend. They don't call it the same way as divisional. I don't know.
Maybe I did think it was sort of striking that I didn't see any of the first game, but I watched. The last three games is pretty much in their entirety, and I thought there were a lot of flags.
Oh,
some of them were ticky-tack.
Yeah,
I didn't think there were like a lot of egregiously bad calls, but some of them were
and
pretty...
And I thought they kind of increased as the game went on.
Yeah,
it was...
That's the part I hate.
Counterintuitive
most.
To what we expect of postseason
I didn't necessarily look at the calls and say, wow, that was a really bad call. But they were like regular season calls. I was like, well, you know, you watch the replay, he's holding them there.
They didn't let him play. I don't care for that,
with the exception of the last game, you know, to make sure that Dallas won.
But the other part of that is getting in our Browner discussion. Would they let them play more if it's Steve Smith and Brandon Browner, two guys they know are going to beat the hell out of someone?
Or do you go in knowing these two and you set the tone early, call that flag early?
Could be that.
To try to say, okay,
and then
guys,
they can say they can't call them all.
Right.
Like, there's this whole game within the game in these matchups.
And Steve Smith is probably not a guy who's going to be bitching all the time because he's just going to be –
He'll just punch more.
I get the over-under at about five post-play,
You
got to separate. They got to be
no
separated.
No doubt.
Because
it's not
the way
like
he likes it.
Like, another guy on the Ravens you'd expect that from is Suggs, right? He plays the edge. He's a little dirty, a little scrappy. He
plays
thug.
To the echo of the whistle.
I don't expect necessarily Nate's... If Logan Mankins played left tackle for the Patriots, I'd be watching that as a matchup that could, every three plays, be an issue. I'm not sure how, honestly, Nate Solder will react to that type of matchup because I think Nate Solder, by nature, is a passive, quiet, just does his job kind of guy, and I don't know how he'll react to a pipe-toting thug across the line.
Chick writes in, yesterday, Paul or Fred said that Steve Smith was there when they played the Ravens last. I don't...
It was sarcasm.
Yeah.
You got to pick up Paul's sarcasm when he's laying it on thick.
Now, what I was referring to, just to let them know, is
he was
a lot of people
Tom
have
Curry.
Said that the history doesn't matter with the Patriots and Ravens because the players weren't there, but they've included last year, the most recent one was a beatdown. The Patriots went to Baltimore last year, last December, and they beat them 41-7. And that's more of an indication of the teams. And I said, well, how did Steve Smith do in that game? How did Owen Daniels do in that game? How did Justin Forsett do in that game?
And nobody picked up on it, apparently.
Why does that...
Right.
Why is the fact that there was plenty of Ravens key players that didn't play, just like Gronk didn't play for the Patriots?
Right. Different teams. That was your point.
They're different teams. Revis and Browner, they weren't there. How do we know what's going to happen with those guys? There's a lot of guys on both teams that didn't play.
Matt from Austin, Texas, as of yesterday, I was scared to play the Ravens. After a day to think about it, I believe if we eliminate Torrey Smith and the run game, I do not believe the Ravens can beat us with Steve Smith and whoever their crappy tight end is.
I would have to agree with that. If you eliminate the run game and Torrey Smith, the Ravens ain't winning.
Right. Their leading receiver in terms of touchdowns and big plays, and their 5.4 yards carry back. I agree. If you eliminate those, you have a really good chance.
I'm also going to add, if the Ravens turn it over four times, they ain't winning.
Just so you know. Sarcasm again from Paul. He's starting to lay it on you a little bit.
You're the one who said that.
Hey, Kevin. Quick question.
How cold is it in here?
Is there a way tomorrow, if Florio agreed to it, to have his show talking to our show live?
That's what he wants.
I know we're unable to play the open, so the answer is probably no.
Things aren't looking up, yeah.
Things aren't looking good.
What happened?
Something's wrong with the computer.
He couldn't play the
audio.
Yeah.
When I was in the,
so there's no way to have like the two shows live at, you know.
So I'm just going to have to stare him down from afar.
Well, no,
we
could probably do that in a very roundabout way if they agreed to do it.
Bitch. Yeah, because after the show, I'll send him an email and ask him if he wants to do 5 minutes with us.
And
that's true. He couldn't come in here because
no, they're on at the same exact time.
Yeah. He's on from 12 to 2?
12 to 3.
What if we start a little early?
We could tape something, too.
I'm not going to do anything special just to have Mike Florio.
Just to see if you
As much as I think he's a nobody, you know, fraud sellout, he is NBC Football Night in America. He's a big deal.
So we'll see.
And you're bowing down to him, giving him a studio.
What would happen is, and this is going to be...
You going to put any heat on for him? It's a national show.
No heat.
I bet she's going to have Curran on, too.
What would happen is the show would go from this room...
One bomb, one room... World's a better place.
It would go from this room back to Culver City, California, wherever the heck it's go, their control room is, and then I would have to dial in on Armist. So it would go from there to California and then California back to here just to talk across.
Does he
room.
Take commercial breaks?
I'm assuming. I don't listen to his show.
Yeah, see, I know he's going to say no because while I don't think he would mind being on our show, he doesn't want us on his show.
Yeah, that's
so
what I figured.
Maybe a commercial break he can sneak in.
Yeah, that could work.
And I'll get right to it.
That could work.
Why do you hate me?
Yeah. I'll ask him.
Why do you hate me? Because you're a sellout.
I'll ask him. And Chris with a TIAN says, if we get him on, he'll buy lunch. So all the more reason.
Kevin, now you have motivation.
Right.
Well, no, I think we could make it happen. It would just be really roundabout. We could make it. There might be a big delay, but it could happen.
And we're going to need you to go get more pizza, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, evidently the pizza's out.
So run.
There are some here. We could use more.
Yeah.
Could also use a hot chocolate.
And
my nose is running. We are in a nose.
Hey,
my nose is
put the heat on in
here. My mouth's bleeding, bro.
What do you mean you'll put the heat on? Why is the heat not on in here? Oh, you mean your little heater? You know how long it's going to... This is like
no,
a
that
big
actually
room.
Works pretty
better
quick.
Than nothing.
It makes Paul sweat.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
He's fat. That's what makes Paul sweat.
First of all, ain't nothing going to make me sweat in this room today.
He's cutting glass over there.
Eric's here.
Hey there.
Just from the cold.
You know what?
With his pocket
it
on.
It felt colder yesterday.
It
felt a lot colder yesterday.
Yeah.
The wind was bad.
Yeah, and plus we were in the bowl on the game field at Gillette Stadium.
Well done, Eric.
Inside, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it felt it felt a little bit milder today, even though it's temperature-wise colder. So nothing to report. Everybody was there, again, in shells today. Not the full pads. Obviously, they can't do more than one full pads a week in the postseason. But everybody was out there. Everybody.
And what did you get to see? Get to see any drills?
No, sadly, just the running from sideline to sideline.
Okay. All right.
But
nothing really new. No.
No.
Okay. Well,
no.
That's good.
Julian Edelman spoke a little bit today. Did you guys already cover that?
No. Nope. We haven't talked about anything in the locker room yet.
It was hard to hear him because it was such a huge crowd, and I was standing a little bit in the back, but I got the feeling that he wasn't really talking too much about the injury other than the fact that it was frustrating not to be out there.
Well. Yeah.
I don't know if either of you guys caught any of him at all, but he talked, which to me is usually a good sign for a player who's coming back from an injury. So, That was the big story of today. And Darrell Revis, I think, is still talking.
He did. He almost went wire.
Well, he had a mob in front of his locker. I'm surprised they didn't bring him out to the podium.
Yeah. A lot of people were complaining about that, actually.
Yeah.
That it was too much of a mob scene.
It was. And I give people credit. They camped out to get him long before he got there. But
what was it? Was there something special about Revis today that
Well, today was his day to have access. So.
Oh, okay.
Fred.
What?
You yourself have said the single reason they're going to win the Super Bowl is because they now have a defense. They now have
Why not yesterday? Why weren't they mobbed around his locker yesterday?
Because they knew he wasn't talking yesterday.
How did we know he was talking today?
Because he's usually a Thursday guy.
But today's Wednesday.
Today is Thursday.
Today's Thursday on the calendar.
I know, but okay. So that's the answer.
But to your point, though, to that, today there were a lot more media, and usually there were more media on a regular Wednesday because that's when Bill and Brady talk.
Which was yesterday.
But there were fewer people here yesterday media-wise. There were a lot more people here today. I think they thought it was a regular Wednesday.
Right.
It's, I mean, from the normal world it is, but for us it's a Thursday.
Right. All right.
So other than that, those were the big stories in the locker room and practice today.
Okay. What's that?
What's he waiting for? Why isn't he going to get pizza?
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where we have several people holding on. Miguel's in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's up?
Hey, man. Everybody's scared of the Ravens, and I just don't understand. I watched the game with the Steelers, and, I mean, I know the pass rush is, it's really good, but other than that, I mean, their offense, I mean, I wasn't impressed with what I saw. I mean, I was seeing some things, and I don't think those guys you guys have been mentioning, other than Smith Sr., he's been making a lot of plays and a lot of big plays, but Torrey Smith guy, I mean, he's fast and everything, but I just think we look too much into it. I mean, I think this is the healthiest I think we're looking at least a 14-point lead, a 14-point win. And I don't know why everybody's so scared about. I mean,
they're not.
My best friend, he's a Ravens fan. And we always, so I can remember the matchups. And there's other times where I've been scared of them. But this is not the Ray Lewis defense. By any means. The other, what was his name? Reed guy?
Hall of Fame.
I mean, their secondary looks pretty vulnerable to me, if you ask me about it.
Yep.
I mean, are we seriously worried about this guy, Forsett? I mean, if we can't stop this guy, I mean, how are we going to do against Lynch?
Well, you won't face
him. We won't have a chance.
You won't face Lynch if you don't stop Forsett at all.
Right.
That's what I mean, guys. Yeah. I mean, we have to have faith in our team, and I just don't understand what was that all about, man. Like, what do you mean bet against my team? You never do that, man. I mean, you gotta.
No, Paul was talking about real gamblers if they have a favorite.
They don't bet
team,
on their. They don't bet with their heart.
They don't bet at all when their team is playing against them or for them. They put that game off their board and they bet on all the other games. That's
yeah,
what
but
about.
Anyways, I don't think their offense is going to do very good.
I don't either. I think that's the difference in the game, Miguel. I agree completely. Thank you for the call. That's the difference in the game.
I don't think you could possibly agree completely with that call.
The Patriots
just
defense.
I mean, what's the deal with Torrey Smith? Those 11 touchdowns and 15.7 yards per game. I mean, if we're just going to dismiss
every
what these
single
guys
thing
have
that
done,
the other team does,
then,
I mean,
okay, I'm
the
fine
fact
with
that
it.
You finished fourth in scoring and they finished eighth,
right.
We're great. They suck. I mean, I'm sorry. If why are we playing?
And also,
why are we playing?
Other than their pass rush, what am I worried about? Well, if
the
you
pass
think
rush,
the
that's
offensive
what I'm
line
about.
Has been a concern and the rush getting to Brady and into Brady's head has been a concern, then you can't just say other than their pass rush. You'd be concerned about their pass rush.
Yeah, I think we all pretty much agreed yesterday, all four of us. We all feel the Patriots are going to win this game. The Patriots are a better team. They're at home, and they have more going for them right now. But that doesn't mean I'm dismissing every possibility that the other team has. I don't say Justin Forsett. Well, you know, what's he going to do? I don't know. Do you think Baltimore's looking at Jonas Gray and LeGarrette Blunt and saying, oh, geez, how are we going to stop them?
Well, if Fred worked there, he would.
Of course not. You know, Julian Edelman. I mean, you think they're looking at Julian Edelman and saying, oh, my God, how are we going to contain him? No.
I do think they probably say that about Gronk.
Gronk is a different kind of animal, no question about it. He's the Revis. He's the transformational player. He makes the offense go.
Now, Fred, you have 30% the chance of Ravens winning.
That's correct.
I have 39% chance for the Ravens to win. Paul, can you give me a number?
I would say somewhere in the I think Fred's 30% makes sense. 30-35%.
Eric,
25.
Okay. That's the guy who always picks the other team.
We all kind of feel the Patriots are going to win the game.
That has me worried.
And certain members of the media.
You're not alone. I got some tweets about that.
Certain members in the media picked the Ravens to have a 75% chance of winning and just 25% for the Patriots. Fred's good friends.
Oh, my God. That wasn't really a member of the media.
Oh.
She never thinks the Patriots are ever going to win.
Right. That's why it's not really.
Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Just a weird thing I heard when I was listening to you guys. The theater thing, isn't it also a war thing? Like, wasn't it like the theater in the Pacific when we fought Japan?
Well, yes, that's also called a theater.
Right,
yep.
Yes. I have heard that one.
Yep.
Okay, so no. Anyways, I don't want to pretend like I know anything about that, but I did want to...
Yeah, don't act like Eric.
I was going to actually make that. I'm not going to be an Eric.
Wow.
But something came up last week on New Year's Eve where Andy was saying how if you flip the coin forever, it'll go to 50%. And
right.
Paul wasn't sure if that was right.
Yeah.
That's actually called the law of large numbers, and Andy's right. As you flip, it will go to 50% if it's a true fair coin. It will go to 50%.
I couldn't articulate the law of large numbers, but I knew it was
I didn't know that. I just thought it's a 50% chance every time. So,
yes, it is. But you're referring to something that's called independence in statistics.
Okay. I didn't even know I was referring to that.
Right. You're both right. If you keep doing it infinitely, eventually you get to about 50.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your approval, Fred.
You're welcome, Brian.
that is what we're all looking for after all, Brian.
So now, listen, I wanted to bring up something that no one's really talked about, and I'm just wondering because it's such a hot topic. That concussion for Roethlisberger and how he was taken out of the game. And then put back in. There's no way that guy should have been put back in the game.
Well, you got to also remember the baseline for Roethlisberger is very, very
low. Deadpan Fred, back at it.
When they showed the replay and how he hit the ground.
I know.
That was terrible.
And if you remember, when he came back in, he immediately threw a pick, right?
Can I just say something about that? Not every violent hit to the head is the same.
No, that's true.
You know,
I agree.
Kevin just pulled through with like three pieces.
And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have. I agree with Brian. I think that he probably should have come out and stayed out. He did come out, but they brought him back in. But they checked him out, and they deemed him okay to go back in.
Now,
I don't have a huge problem with it.
And Brian, I hear what you're saying, and thanks for the call. In today's day and age, if they did skimp on that, boy, they would be really liable.
Well, and I'm not dismissing the possibility.
Well,
I'm really not.
I'm saying it's
but they did check
less
him out.
Than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, we brought this up. I was talking to Andy and Eric about this, Fred. Did you catch? You probably didn't because you don't watch anything. You don't have time. A Football Life on Roger Staubach was on NFL Network. And it's not new. I just happened to catch a rerun the other night. I didn't realize that he retired because of concussions.
I didn't either.
In 1979, he said he had two concussions. He was talking to his doctor, and he said, "These are starting to pile up. I really think it's time. I think it's time that you stop." I just thought that he was a little older. He had like an 11-year career, plus he lost 4 years for military service. I thought he was a little older, and that's why he seemed to retire, a little bit prematurely. But evidently, it was due to concussions. That was 1979, Fred. So for the NFL to make these claims that we didn't realize that the multiple concussions were damaging and all the other stuff that they've come out with over the last 25 years,
right?
Pretty disingenuous.
Yeah, it's all CYA.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did you call the guy from the Jets, Andy, Dr. Yes? Is that what they refer to him as, the guy that always put everybody back into the game? Yeah. So
sure, go ahead.
There's a lot of
Andy's unavailable right now.
Once again, the
Andy
Jets
is like
it
gorging
up.
Himself on pizza. He's unbelievable. He just
Well, Kevin did a great job. I don't know how, but he got like these are like fresh out of the oven. The cheese is still hot and gooey.
You put food in front of him. It really doesn't matter.
Nice to
anything
see he
else that's
with
going
you, right,
on.
Fred?
You know, he could be a doctor delivering a baby. They bring in a pizza. And,
I would run from the theater.
He'd leave the baby half in and half out. You know. One more call and we'll take a break so, the rest of us can have some pizza.
John, before it's all gone.
John's in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I was listening to a Baltimore radio station, and they had a show like yours, but it was much shorter, and they were on reporting what the Ravens said, and somebody on the Ravens defense, Brandon Williams, maybe, he said, he told, you know, they were reporting what they were told in the locker room, and they were talking about the coverage of the Ravens secondary, and he said that they only have to cover for the early part of the route, and after that, they expect that Brady will, they expect the ball to be effective, the throw of the ball to be effective to a degree where the, you know, where after that, they don't expect the ball to be accurate. They expect the ball to be affected by their rush.
Okay.
So they're admitting they're only covering for the early part of the route.
Which concerns me because we talked about it yesterday. When you go with that whole theory, I'm going to spread them out, three-step drops, quick, accurate throws. If they decide they're going to play that and squish everything down and dare you to make longer throws and time
and require more time in the pocket,
if they can succeed with the rush, then they'll be more effective in that short coverage.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you don't and Gronk beats you, you know, if Brady just does one of those where he's throwing, even if he's going backwards like he tried to do against the Colts, Gronk could be behind somebody, and then all of a sudden two of those big plays, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, we're beating you.
Or sometimes when you're that aggressive, you can run at that type of defense. You know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
he's trying to make a case for Jonas Gray again.
I know. Who was one of the guys talking about the cold today, by the way. That cold. Although yesterday was cold.
Well, he mentions playing in some cold games back in high school. And
In the upper?
The Midwest?
Yeah.
No,
the UP?
It was the
Upper Peninsula?
The Upers.
All right, we got a lot more calls. Of course, a lot more emails. We'll get to them right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster place?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your
throat. Is it chowder or soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
I love the part of that that I like the most is I say to Eric, I had nothing to do with you. Right. And Eric says, yes, you did. Neither thing had any made any sense.
No, it didn't. Because I was expecting to hear you say something else, and I was responding to
you
that.
You responded before you actually took in what he said.
Exactly.
You forgot who you were talking to. He's not going to be predictable.
Lucas
or
Wade,
even articulate.
Lucas Wade writes in at webradiopages.com. He's from Central Pennsylvania. The trivia game that you guys were talking about is called Trivia Crack. And it's pretty addicting.
That is the one.
My first sports question was the name of the Patriots stadium. And as a fan, I knew that one.
CMGI.
Anyway, I'm sick of Suggs and the Ravens players trash talking. I really hope we beat their ass this weekend. Something, protect Brady, pressure Flacco, and secondary has to hold up. I believe this is our year. Go Pats and keep up the good work on PFW.
Thanks.
A couple other interesting emails I want to get to, and we'll get back to the phones. On yesterday, we were talking about Patricia's beard.
Yep.
Simon writes in, listening to yesterday's podcast, I'm an astrophysicist with a bigger beard than Matt Patricia, and no one takes me seriously either. My name never comes up as a head coach candidate. Nah. And that's Simon near Ye Old Cock Inn. I knew Andy would love that part.
Ye Old Cock Inn. What? There's plenty of pizza
there's
there.
There's like a whole pizza here.
There's three whole pizzas. Buffalo chicken? I mean, barbecue chicken. If you had wanted that, you should have grabbed some of that.
There's barbecue chicken, there's cheese, and there's pepperoni.
There's three different pizzas.
There's three different kinds. That's the only three kinds we started with. Jeez.
Jeez. Cry me a river.
On the time that we actually...
Jeez.
We actually credited them with getting actually hot pizza.
I take it back. No soda.
Plus, you didn't get
embarrassment.
Plus, you didn't get any Diet Pepsis.
Eric, did you know the operating
Fred,
room
did you get
in,
any chowder?
Europe is...
No.
Shut the hell up.
The servant chowdered?
Yeah, Kevin didn't bring you chowder.
Rumor has it that there was some chowder down there.
Just chowder. I just didn't have... You want me to go back?
No,
I don't, but
no,
Fred
I'm
loves
good.
That chowder.
I had too much pizza.
He doesn't know from lobster bisque.
Eric, did you know that the operating room in Europe is called the theater?
It's not just in Europe. That's...
Yeah, Jesus.
No, that's a phrase that's commonly used in the theater.
Paul, go ahead.
Teaching hospitals.
Yeah.
I'd never heard... Anybody call it a theater?
No, it's
all.
Commonly used.
It is.
It's well known.
It's okay. It's also well known that I don't know anything other than sports. And people would argue that I don't know much about that.
I would agree.
And one other email I want to get to before we get to the phone on my dreams about being nude. This is
division title
this
weekend.
This is from a couple of Army psychiatrists in Hawaii. So I've been catching up on the backlog of holiday podcasts and heard your story and desire to get a psychiatrist's take on it. I didn't think too much of it, but later in the day when I was at lunch with a fellow psychiatrist buddy of mine who was much heavier into the psychodynamic approach than myself, I explained your show to him, and we compared thoughts on the small snippet you shared. So here are the brief thoughts of two psychiatrists with too much time on their hands during lunch.
They were talking about you over lunch, Fred.
In Hawaii.
That's awesome.
One. Story on your nakedness on stage and your desire to put your clothes back on. You often like to share and may do so too quickly or openly and feel anxious or have self-doubts and possibly regrets about doing so in certain contexts. You may also worry about acceptance from those around you, themes of confidence versus insecurities. That's pretty accurate. I do talk before I think sometimes. Two, adding in the additional story about Gino's unit on his hip, part of you might really want to dream of another man's unit, but part of you must disavow this to the point where Gino's unit must be moved to a different location.
You're gay.
What we also agree on in order to be more comprehensive is that we would want to hear your view on things. Are these recurring dreams? Do these dreams concern you? If so, there would be lots of grist for the mill. And no, Andy, not everyone complains about the weather everywhere.
Oh, yeah, in Hawaii, they're happy with it.
Yeah, that's true.
So they think you could be gay.
Or repressed, yeah, maybe.
Do you have other dreams about units?
No, not really. No.
Just Gino's. Would you tell me right now if you did?
No, I don't.
No,
I would not.
I really don't. Honestly, I don't.
You just Google them.
Yeah, I mean, when it's in the news, yeah, sure. But the first part, I could see that, you know, where you do something, impulsively, and then realize, why did I do that? That is the feeling I get in the dream.
So it's regrettable.
That I thought this was the thing to do, and then I realized I'm the only one doing it, and now what do? Do I rush and put the clothes back on? Do I just stand there and pretend like everything's fine?
Yeah, so it's like sort of like your false bravado this week. You're expressing externally great confidence.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
But you really are scared
Once again, you're wrong. Once again. Let's get to the phones.
Doesn't it get tiresome after a while?
I just think it's great that these two armies sitting down at lunch. And, so I got this guy. He's on a podcast. He dreams about being naked and penises on hips.
Gino's unit.
But can you imagine the psychiatrist who doesn't listen to the show? He thought the penis was where?
Right.
And who was this Gino guy?
Right. He was actually a great patriot. Right. I mean, like, got to get into this whole thing.
Right.
Thanks, babe. Hang on for a little while.
There is a sitcom right here.
Noel's in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you.
Hey, I'm driving in my car, so I'm going to make a point, and I'd love to have you keep me on the phone so I can listen to your answer. One thing is for certain is I know any given Sunday, but I don't see all this hullabaloo, and I agree with the guy that said, hey, stop Torrey Smith and the run, and everything should be fine. My question to you guys is, number one, don't get new, don't reveal your shortcomings. Number two, when we start this game out, I have a feeling that we should do similar to what we did to Indianapolis and make sure they don't rush anybody by running it down their throat. I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on whether you feel that's what we'll do, or do you think we'll go into a dink and dunk kind of game, or, you know, I'd just like to get your thoughts on how we should, other than being tough and mean and coming out there with a lot of aggressiveness, how do you feel we should show up Saturday?
Dink and dunk, kind of as you put it. Spread them out, short passes, quick. I mean, 3.6 yards a carry on the season their defense has allowed in the running game. You know, we talked about it yesterday. Historically, they're never been a soft run defense.
Yeah, but
not
Andy,
as bad.
They haven't played Jonas Gray yet.
That's true.
And he used to play for them.
I just think comparing them to the Indianapolis Colts run defense is
meaningful. I think that's the matchup we haven't talked about, the fact that he used to be a Raven.
Oh,
Jonas Gray.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh talked about him.
He's a spy, an embedded spy.
He did not want to lose him.
We also didn't talk about the fact that I think a Raven flew over the stadium the other day when I was leaving.
I saw you tweet that.
No, it's not shtick. That's it may have been a crow. I don't know if it was a crow. I don't know if crows and ravens are related.
They
anything.
Are.
Yeah. But there was a large black bird that
birds.
And then went and sat up above
the classic deadpan.
I got it. Above the Gillette Stadium name. I mean, there is a crow.
And I said I couldn't believe it didn't fall into your orbit.
I know, and it was so funny.
But Twitter blew up.
Fred broke Twitter.
Yeah, I had another one I said the other day.
Yes, yeah, you had one.
Oh,
last
yeah,
night.
You were talking
he's
about
He's so
your
good
marathon.
He remembers them individually. Yeah.
The rest of me says, shut the hell up. And I was like, the rest of us are saying the same thing.
I saw that. That made me laugh,
really?
Actually.
That one, I think, actually got more responses than the Crow Orbit one.
Yeah.
People liked that one.
That was good.
Let's see. But you don't do that anymore. I used to love it when you did that. You kind of wussied out on
what?
On just, like, harassing media members.
But the people that I harass...
You know, like, somebody will say, hey, I'm going to be on CSN at 10 o'clock, join me. And it'll be like, no, but with the exclamation point.
Thanks for warning me. I'll
save
the channel.
But it's the exclamation point that gets me, you know?
But the people that I do that to are either gone, rap sheet.
Right, you've driven them out.
Or
right.
Actually want to fight
Wait,
me,
but
like Curran.
But you used to do that to rap sheet when he was here.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, but now he's gone, and I still do it occasionally.
And he showed him. He got a national job.
Right, but like he has still done it probably last postseason or maybe even train. He was like putting together my tour of NFL cities, and I retweeted with, please no Patriots, please no Patriots, please no. Like, I do it occasionally. It's not as easy and fun.
You just can't help it.
And like I said, some of the people actually hate me now, like Curran and
right.
The other thin
I can't imagine why punanis. Some of the people might hate you now.
Why? Why am I hateable? Like, I do it to Jeff Howe occasionally.
Wow.
Why?
Why do they hate
me? No, but I do it to-
You just spent the last 30 seconds explaining
I
why.
Do it to Jeff Howe, and he takes it the right way, and he'll
okay,
fire
but
back
you don't understand why he might not take it the right way? Like, some guys might take it differently?
Why doesn't everybody
do that
to everybody?
Why is this guy always picking on me?
Because not everybody is as quick-witted and thought-provoking as me.
Oh, is that what it is? Right. And you just need to unleash it.
Yes.
Yes, I see.
Have fun.
Right.
Have a little fun.
Everybody needs a platform.
Lighten
all
up,
the world's
people.
A stage, Fred.
Right.
Lighten up. It's social media. It's interactive media, and we are all public figures.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So just have a little fun with it. Not everything is serious.
Right? I said I love it. I love it.
Have
I,
fun
I
with it.
I don't have a problem with it, and I would never get upset if someone was playing around.
I
would do it with Giardi all the time.
To me, it was all about...
do it with Giardi. What are the other one? He said, just bought a Mongo hacksaw. And I said, rooting for the hacksaw.
Yeah. You have to admit, that one of the attractions for you to do it is to see what the tipping point is. How far can I get this guy before he cracks? Right?
As an example.
So it's not just all in fun.
Yes.
It's to see
as an
how
example,
far I can go.
Yeah. When Crack Sheet had to take me aside and ask me specifically, can you please talk to Andy and ask him to stop doing that?
That's an interesting question, Fred. It really is. that I don't know the answer to. Because when people crack, I think less of them as a person. I think they are now hypocrites.
And you're testing
sensitive.
Them. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Like, Giardi passed the test. Giardi has passed the test.
You think they're hypocrites?
Yeah, I think Tom Curran's a hypocrite. I think he's a ball-busting guy like me, and then when you bust back, he sulks.
I can see that, because Tom does like to do that stuff to other people. Ian is not.
Right.
Ian doesn't.
No. That was I may have been a bully.
That was
in
bullying.
That was
bullying. We're gonna call you incognito.
Well, I mean, but he did walk in and say, "What's up, slap dicks or something."
That was
like,
his second day here. He said that to us.
Yeah. So no, he earned it.
Not the same.
He earned it.
Not
yes, he did.
Not the same.
No,
thing.
He gave me reason. He
you're
set
in,
me
you're
off.
In public making fun of him, as opposed to like walking into it.
How is that any different than me making fun of anybody else though in public?
But
once you're in the public sphere, you're a public figure.
I think you're Tom. First of all,
Tom Menino mumbles.
I'm not here to defend.
You think he liked that? But he's
like
in the public sphere. He likes to be mayor.
I don't think he liked being called mumbles.
No, I know, but it's kind of the same thing.
And people that called him that weren't doing it because they're fun, having fun. They did it to get at. All right.
They did it because it was the lowest of low hanging fruit.
Let's get back to football.
Phone lines are stacked.
Dana's in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, Fred. Listen, I just want to weigh in a little bit about the the mix and match defensive packages. I think we definitely are going to see Revis on Torrey and Browner on Little Smitty, because I think it's all predicated on pressure. If we get pressure up the middle with Collins and Hightower, and we get the edge rush with Jones and Ninkovich, it's a matchup, I think, made in heaven for us, because we can stay with them. I think one thing that's missing is Revis is a lot more physical than people give him credit for. He does subtle things a la Ty Law, where he bodies up these receivers and kind of impedes their route without interfering with them. And he does some subtle things in coverage where he can physical up as well on Torrey. So I think
Revis is extremely physical.
I do too.
I think that's his reputation. He's a very physical corner. He's a lot like Ty Law. Absolutely, your comparison is dead on.
And he gets away with it because he's not overtly physical like Browner. And I think Browner's going to get in Smitty's head, and they're going to have an exchange for sure. But I'm going to get off the phone in a second. But I think we're going to be surprised. I think our physicality on our front 4, 5, 6 up front is going to be the difference. I think Flacco's going to get his ass kicked. I really do. I'm sorry for swearing, but I think he's going to get banged around pretty good, and that's where the game's going to be won. And
that's,
I like to
one of Fred's
like,
keys. That was Fred's secondary key yesterday when we talked about it, getting some pressure on the passer.
I agree with Fred. I agree with you, Fred, 100%. If we do that, the matchups really doesn't make a difference, because Flacco has to have time to go to his second and third read. And if it's not there, he's going to fold up like a house of cards, and we're going to kill him.
All right.
That's all I got to, that's
oh,
all
God,
I, got to
I hope you're right, Dana. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
I'm not really worried about this game. I see us winning this game. I would be worried, though, if I seen Browner on Torrey Smith. I don't know if y'all remember what Torrey Smith did to McCourty, a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, I remember.
Right before Torrey Smith's brother died, and he had that amazing game. He was just, and what he did against the Broncos ex-corner that is now retired, Champ Bailey, he's a really fast guy, and I just won't be too thrilled about that matchup. But I do see him matching up against Steve Smith. And I think that this is a Gronk game, because I don't know if they have the linebackers to, to be physical with Gronk and to slow him down. So I just think that this is a Gronk game, and I can even see this being a Vereen game, catching a couple of passes out the backfield or whatever. But I think we win this game. I'm not really worried about it. This is not the same defense. You know, this is not Ray Lewis, and this is not Ed Reed and Denard Pollard and all those guys. You know, this is something totally different that they have. And I just think, you know, we got this.
All right. Thanks, Malachi. Remember the game after the post-game locker room after Cincinnati when Gronk said, you know, I was going
to make Tom Brady again.
I hope he's saying that about the offense in general this week. I want to make the Patriots offense the Patriots offense again.
To pull a Peter Gammons and, I mean, a Peter King and kind of fluff my own tune or whatever, I actually said that on a radio. I think Gronk, with these weeks off and hearing, I think he is now that guy. I think he's a miniature Brady. He hears the stuff, and he gets frothing at the mouth, and I'm going to go show him that we are still the Patriots. I think there's a chance Gronk absolutely goes out and goes icky baluki, as they say, and just has a huge game. And
no one
says
that.
Paul will hate him.
One guy that says
Paul
that.
Will be punching. He'll be punching people off of him, and Paul will be saying, I don't like him anymore. And he will be dominating
grunting on the sideline after he scores.
Well, I don't mind. I don't mind any of that stuff. I just, you know, I know I was the only one. I didn't see it necessary that he had to punch somebody, but you know, I was the only one that got mad at him. I would agree with the Gronkowski part of it because the safeties are not good. Will Hill, Matt Elam has been sort of a disappointment. He started 15 games, did not start the playoff game, but he played a good amount. They used some different guys, some unknown. You know, we talked about all the guys they have on IR. There's like seven defensive backs on IR. So the
Alfonso
guys that are
Dennard's on IR, too.
The guys that are playing. They got a guy from Miami practice squad in Rashad Melvin, I think his name is. He's starting for them. They took Antoine Kayson off of the scrap heap and plugged him in. He played a big part in that game last week. They don't have the secondary. They don't have enough numbers to deal with Rob Gronkowski. They just don't. The defense as a whole, the Ravens defense as a whole, is better than the Ray Lewis defense that won the Super Bowl. It just is.
Not to play Paul's side of the street, that's starting to annoy me.
It really is.
No, they don't have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. Has anyone said they do? Because all I've heard people say is they have Suggs and Dumervil and Nada and a really good defensive line.
I will say this.
Like, no one has said they have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and it's the same defense.
They don't have Ed Reed. Their safeties are not as good as Ed Reed was in 2012. C.J. Mosley and Darryl Smith are better than Ray Lewis was in 2012.
Yeah, Ray Lewis was a shadow of himself.
But he still brings something.
One of the reasons.
Eric brought it up yesterday. Yeah. The intangible.
One of the reasons.
We heard it out here. Remember, we were doing the pregame social.
And we said,
like, the tunnel was rocking.
Listen, I hate to say this, but I was pretty confident in 2012 the Patriots are going to win that game. Because Ray Lewis wasn't Ray Lewis. And, you know.
Because you've never been lacking confidence, you know? Except this week.
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We all thought the Patriots are going to win that game.
When was the last time you predicted them to lose a playoff game?
I don't think I ever have.
I don't think you have.
I wouldn't dare do that.
Super Bowl 2001?
I had the 11 Super Bowl. No. You had the 2005 game in Denver. Were you still happy about?
Is our job to be homers or our job to be right?
Yeah, but when you're in the playoffs.
Plus three?
Kind of
be
homes.
Right.
In the playoffs.
Kind of homes.
Playoffs are a different cat.
That one?
Because it's, you know, one game takes all and, you know, I don't know. It's just different.
No, but you, I mean, yeah, I guess you've never.
You should try.
If I said I was emotionally prepared, then you know
you're
that.
But you're never going to pick the other team. Literally, Wes Welker got hurt, and I said something, and you said, what do you have, like four touchdowns? Like, right. you shrugged it off.
Like going to Denver last
because
year.
Because I honestly did think the Patriots were going to win. But if I didn't, you would see from my demeanor
but
that
you
I
honestly
really
thought the Patriots were going to win in Denver last year in the AFC Championship?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there is no scenario going into the game that you're going to honestly think they don't have
no,
a shot.
No, could be.
Yeah, Brady and Gronkowski and Revis all get hit by a
bus. I mean, we all kind of thought that Manning could poop himself. Remember, that was the big
Ravens
thing.
Bus.
Manning might poop himself
when they come into the
and
stadium.
Hand us the game last year. But if you didn't think going into that game there was a chance they could lose.
Oh, I didn't say that.
You'll never think there's a chance
but if Gronk
lose.
And Edelman aren't in the game, you know, my demeanor might change a little bit. You know,
be slapping them.
Eric in New York writes in, let me start off by saying I still think this will be a close game with the Patriots coming out on top, but just wanted to throw another stat out there. In addition to being 6-6 against the AFC this year, the Ravens' point differential in the AFC games was just plus 19. The majority of the season point spread came against the trash heap, that is the new NFC South, outscoring those opponents by 88 points in total and going 4-0. Pretty stark contrast to the Patriots, who had some big wins against playoff teams such as Denver, Detroit, Indy, and Cincy.
Yes, and about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I was on board with the Patriots were freaking awesome and dominant. I've been clouded a little bit.
The Patriots have been better against better teams.
Right.
There's no, I mean, the numbers that he just illustrated them.
Well, I mean, I can balance it out with Raiders, Jets. I mean, there's bad teams. The Patriots didn't impress me again. But those wins were the heartbeat of the middle of the season where I was 35 points every week, roll out of bed and roll to, you know, Super Bowl and bust. I'm seeing Katy Perry.
Yeah, and it's
I've backed off that talk a little the last couple weeks.
But it's another one of those things too. When you break it down and you start saying like
Super Bowl and bust,
we say how bad Cincinnati is, right? Cincinnati's a terrible team, right? But then we use Cincinnati as an example of a good team the Patriots demolished,
right?
Like, well, which is it? Are they terrible or are they an impressive win? You know, so I think you can sort of play with some of that stuff.
Are the Jets the best 3-12 team of all time? Or
yeah,
what?
That's what Rex says. But I will. I mean, you.
Wait, did Rex say that?
Undeniable. The Ravens are, I think they have 3 wins against playoff teams, and 2 of those were against Pittsburgh. The other one was against Carolina, a .500 team. So to compare that to the Patriots beating, Indianapolis, Denver, Cincinnati, and Detroit. I mean, there's no comparison there.
San Diego, I throw in there at home.
But you can't because they didn't make the playoffs.
Jason,
wait, what is the winning
you
percentage?
You can't throw non-playoff teams in and say that's another playoff win they had.
It's a good win on the road.
What is the winning percentage of 8-8-1?
500.
It is 500? Because I thought winning percentage was wins divided by games played.
Yeah, you generally divide up the ties evenly and count them both sides.
Oh, so it isn't wins by games played.
No.
Oh.
Jason says,
guess I got to stop doing my own winning percentage.
I have one question. This is along the same lines for all you going into the divisional game. I know a lot of our confidence comes from our run in the middle of the season, as Andy said. Not only winning those games, but crushing the Broncos and Colts, for example. How confident would each of you be about the team if the Patriots played the AFC and NFC South this year? Instead, we would still have our wins against Denver and Indy, division winners, but we wouldn't have played Detroit or Green Bay, and instead would have had to play a crumb-bum collection of teams. Thanks for your time and thoughts, and I'm thinking 28-17 Patriots.
How do we do in the games?
Yeah.
I'd still be cocky. You know, if you blew out Denver and Indy,
yes.
I'd still be pretty cocky.
But, I mean, if they lost, we played Detroit and Green Bay. Well, they split them.
Right.
You know, did they split the games against the other teams?
Green Bay was essentially a win.
That's true. I forgot. But I would feel the same. I'm with Andy. If I blew out Denver and I have to play Denver in a playoff game, I'm going to feel pretty good about it.
Because I still will
same
have
with Indy,
blown
right?
out 3 of the 6 playoff teams in the AFC.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I would feel pretty good about having to play those teams again.
And I'd still have no idea whether I'm good enough to beat Seattle. Right?
Because yeah,
I have
bear all around.
Hasn't
right.
really changed all that much of the
no.
landscape.
Tony says, Browner doesn't have the hips to change direction with Steve Smith. Put Revis on him.
Nah, I still want Revis on their big playmaker. It's Torrey Smith.
Browner doesn't have the legs, the wheels, to run with Torrey Smith.
Well, how is Torrey Smith in route running, or is he a straight-line runner?
He's more of a straight-line guy.
But he can do everything.
Yeah.
He's a better receiver than Steve Smith.
Yeah. And he takes the top off the defense.
Yeah, digging the top off. The wind block. The ear hole somewhere.
That's what Brandon Browner said. Thursday night, Comcast, BFW.
He said it in the locker room. Yes,
I know, but I went one-on-one with him.
Oh.
Let's
one-on-one
go to
the great one. Talking about the frozen tundra of Foxborough.
Anthony in Richmond. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony.
Did the redundant
hey guys,
frozen
going?
Tundra.
Going well. How's it going
anyways,
with you?
It's kind of...
kind of a bad connection.
So, what are you telling to turn the internet down?
You guys here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, we're here. What
bigger question is, are you?
All right. Yeah, I'm here. I kind of see where people could say that Brennan Browner and would be on Torrey Smith, and then you have Revis on Steve Smith. Because I think while Torrey Smith is the better receiver, I think he's better rated as the deep threat. So I think you put Browner on them, get physical, get the first punch on Torrey Smith, and then get the safety help over the top with McCourty. Where I think Steve Smith, he's more of a shifty guy. Where I think Steve Smith could break Browner's ankles off the line of scrimmage just like that and get open, which would scare me to death.
It's a possibility, but I'd also say that if Browner gets his hands on him, he's not breaking his ankles.
Yeah, and both of those matchups worry me.
Good corners versus good receivers.
I can definitely see Steve Smith on Revis and Torrey Smith on Browner.
I think at the end of the day, what we're going to see is more of a defensive plan that we had against the Broncos where they were just switching the corners around on them and rotating them. Because Demaryius Thomas, he saw both Revis and Browner at different points of that game, and I think that was getting to Peyton quite a lot. So I think we're going to do the same thing and try to get in Flacco's head and blitz up the middle with Hightower and Collins and get to his head. But, you know, thank you for taking my call, and have a good show.
All right, thanks Anthony.
I agree. I think the most likely is that we're not going to say they did X 88% of the time, that you're going to see 20%, 40%, a few different combinations. And we haven't even talked about the rest of it. You know, is Kyle Arrington healthy? What is Kyle Arrington's role? You know, this, the team has been 4-2-5 most of the year with five defensive backs as their primary, you know, but we've seen Arrington, Ryan, you know, multiple safeties with Harmon, and, you know, is that a safety? Maybe there's an extra safety on the field as the fifth DB. You know, it's not just the two.
Big game for Wilson.
Why?
Tavon?
I don't know.
Jonas Gray thinking of a safety.
So he's confident in the victory, but he's counting on Tavon Wilson and Jonas Gray.
Yep.
That's how deep we are.
Patriots fans, I just want to clarify, this is your leader. This is your leader.
Toso's in Rhode Island. Hey, Toso.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey. What's up?
Chilling.
Word.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think we should do? How should we attack the game? Think we should put our offense out there first, try and get an early lead and control
stick
the game
with,
more?
Stick with the defer.
Yeah, Bill won't do that. He'll defer.
Defense first.
But he asked what you think he should do.
We're going to do, but what do you feel?
Oh, I would take the ball.
I would always go defense first.
I know, because you always agree with Bill.
No, I believe that.
I don't always agree with Bill, and I would defer just for – I don't care about who goes on the field first. I like the idea of possibly getting double possessions.
I love the double punt, to end the second quarter with a punt.
I like to start off the game.
If that happens, that happens.
Me too.
I want to get the ball in score.
I want Tom Brady frothing at the mouth with Gronk, marching it down the field, jamming it down Terrell Suggs' throat, and going up 7-0.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
All right, Toso, thanks for the call. Dan in Virginia writes in, is it PFW Progress today or Ocean's 3 with Fred Highroller Kirsch leading a wacky, far-fetched gambling caper? Just picking on a couple.
I don't get the Ocean's 3 part.
It was three of us before Eric got here, and we were talking about gambling. Instead of Ocean's 11, it was Ocean's 3.
Oh. You never saw that movie.
No, I've never seen any of them, but I thought they were like 11, 12, and 13 or something.
They added people.
Oh, they added people? I didn't know that.
Just picking up on a couple of things from yesterday's program. If Paul wants to see fans going Al Roker about the Ravens, he just needs to check out the PFW in Progress Facebook page.
What does Al Roker?
What does Al Roker mean?
He's kind of crazy, wacky.
I know who Al Roker is.
Isn't he the black guy who lost all the weight and does the birthdays?
Yes, he's a weather guy.
And he's scared all the time.
He does birthdays now too.
I thought maybe I'm confusing him with the other guy, the Ronald McDonald.
There was the old. Who was the old
Willard Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original
Ronald
McDonald.
Scott was from the Today. Well, they were both from the Today Show.
Yeah.
But Roker had surgery. He went from fat guy to skinny guy.
That is true.
He had the lap dance surgery.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
In the theater.
In the theater. The theater of the absurd.
When is
the
Fred?
The theater is where Kramer watched in the.
Right. See, I needed Eric here.
We the junior man.
The junior man.
I did the whole scene. It's very refreshing.
When is Fred going to release his erotic novel about Jonas Gray? He already has the title, 50 Shades of, what is that, some kind of brown? Oh, it's charcoal gray.
That's well done.
Oh,
remember yesterday, the sweater and the brown?
Right.
Now, I still don't understand why that there's nothing illegal about what she did putting Gronk on the cover.
I think there probably is the fact that, you know, on the cover is his
MHK
image.
And
but they probably
license isn't there NFL licensing?
Actually,
stuff?
I went to the Amazon and I checked it out.
You went down to South America?
Yeah, and they have the reviews. The reviews are very funny. Remember we used to do the Well, people picked up on that, and there's a lot of fake reviews.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny.
Now, is she making money?
The book is marked down to like $2.59.
I'm
gonna say no.
But the publicity has been off the hook.
Well, I think that's part of it. Is you don't want to give her any more by getting into this legal thing, you know?
Yeah, but then you're just saying anybody write anything you want and put Bill Belichick on the cover and put anybody Tom Brady on the cover.
They could.
Brady would go after him. Giselle would not allow that. Right. I guarantee that.
Well, yeah, the cover is a man and a woman, and it's just Gronk's face. He's not in uniform.
No, yes, he is.
That's incorrect.
Oh, really?
The one I saw said MHK right here. Like, it was obvious.
There are two pictures of Gronk on the cover.
Okay.
There's the close-up with the MHK, and then there's one of him actually spiking.
Okay.
And they're both in uniform.
Okay.
Has anybody read anything of it?
Well, so then the NFLPA and the league could, could go after
NFL properties.
Yeah, right.
For the likeness.
Yeah.
But did you read any of it?
No.
I was thinking.
I live it every
yes.
day.
I'm sure Andy has.
No, I'm just wondering. It's like low, like
Paul,
low level, right?
Oh yeah,
he was the ghostwriter.
Like
yeah.
just
let's
flat
be,
out, you know. He yeah, spiked me where I wanted him to yeah. spike
low
me, kind of
right.
dirty,
yeah.
lame.
All okay. of those are like that. Erotica.
Why are you getting excited and breathing heavy?
and why do you know that those? That's how they all are.
Like, I've read I had
stuff?
A friend.
Yeah, oh. you did.
whose girlfriend was very good looking, and she had a crush on Fabio.
Well, it's one of those things like pornography.
And
you know it when you see
and
it.
And he was
it.
Doing a signing for one of those books.
Is that what they call it nowadays?
At I don't know what it's a mall, and so
stick
she
me
went
with your love
all
pen.
All dressed up,
inject me
all
with
dolled up,
poison.
And he actually went out with her for a while.
Fabio?
Yeah, yeah.
So she left the your friend?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a classy broad right there.
Yeah. yep. So there you go.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Right. And then he had the thing that blew up in his face. The bird hit
right.
him with blood everywhere.
Adam in New Jersey, so far there's been a lot of talk about how our defense will match up with their big targets, but how about our big targets in their defense? Who sticks to Gronk, LaFell, and Edelman?
Nobody.
And how much of a role do we think Blunt and Gray will be?
It's all about Gronk, and we've talked about it at length. They don't have the personnel to handle it. They have weak safeties. Their linebackers are good, but Darryl Smith is more of a sort of a smaller athletic type. I don't know if he's going to be able to physically bother Gronkowski much.
Nope.
Mosley, maybe, but I think they probably don't want to waste him in that kind of role. They're going to have to double-team Gronkowski. The other guys, I don't think – I'm kind of with Andy on this. I think you're going to crowd the line of scrimmage as much as you can and just try to tackle those guys. I don't care how many catches Shane Vereen or Julian Edelman or Brandon LaFell have as long as – if you're the Ravens, as long as you don't let them get downfield to make big plays. Gronkowski is the one who's going to make the big plays, in my opinion. So if they can't get pressure, and that's basically this is what we've been talking about the whole week. This is the matchup.
Are you getting mad at the guy?
No, the pressure doesn't. I mean, we can talk about all these different matchups, but it all comes down to if they bother Brady, they can slow the Patriots' offense down. If they don't, they won't. They don't have the secondary to play with the Patriots. All those guys are out.
Yeah, so they have to take those chances.
They have one front line
quarterback.
Well,
not necessarily chances.
They're not chances.
Well, you know.
It's winning battles.
The Patriots are
going to
get the ball out quickly.
It's Dumervil staying on the field and getting his job done. It's Suggs bitch-slapping Nate Solder.
I don't think they'll blitz a ton.
No.
I think that they will rely on winning battles.
And if you block them, you will probably
win.
If you do not block them, you have a chance to lose.
The Al Roker reference is because Al Roker pooped himself twice.
When?
Oh.
I don't know.
On
okay.
the air?
I am not.
I get it now, though.
Certainly not going to be critical of that.
Leo writes.
I'm not really doing it all show.
Leo writes.
Disingenuous.
Now, does Al Roker make Deidre clean them?
Yeah, oh.
She just leaves them in the sink for
oh, that's
someone
so
well, see, if I were rich like Al Roker, I would just buy a lot of new underwear.
I still can't believe you did that to your poor wife.
I know.
And you're still married.
Left your mess in the sink.
Right. Like
for her to clean up.
Like he's 4 years old.
I know.
You know?
But I've been a mess forever.
But you should clean it up.
I know, but she married a mess. She knew what she was getting into.
That doesn't mean she needs to
Amen,
clean up
brother.
After you all the time.
No, but like she knew what she was getting into.
I just see her with like the scrub brush. Like,
I don't think she does that.
I think she should have just thrown it out. I wouldn't have
right.
cleaned that.
And she
right.
may have. I don't know. I don't know specifically what happened to that pair
and
of
And it's
underwear.
A sink where other people have to use it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but
it's
you know,
not like this utility sink down in the basement.
I thought of that later, but the only reason I did it is because I knew she had done that with kids' stuff. So, like, it was like, oh, I guess that's where we put our poopy underwear.
Kids' poop isn't the same as your poop.
Actually, it is. It's all poop. We all poop.
I know.
Everybody poops.
Isn't there a book?
Bill Gates. Yeah. Bill Gates has a new invention that turns poop into drinkable water. I swear to God.
I saw that. He
actually
right.
drank it yesterday just to show that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Why would I want to turn poop into drinkable water?
Did he then throw
We're
going
to need water someday.
And why does poop have to be the only place to get it?
Could come from a number of ways, but one thing we have a lot of is poop.
That just doesn't, I mean, that would seem like it'd be last on the list. We need to figure out how to make poop water.
I was thinking like
urine, salt water.
Well, I was going to say it's desalination.
Oil.
With the if the ocean levels are rising, we could use that to prevent, you know, places from being overtaken by.
Right. But poop would be lower on my list of what I need to figure out.
Absolutely would be low on the list.
And if I have the technology for that, how come I can't just make water?
What do you mean, just make water?
H2O.
Hydrogen, oxygen.
Yeah, that's the H2O.
Good.
I mean, doesn't it seem almost as equally a miracle that you turn poop into water as just making water out of H2O? And don't claim that I'm taking this up. You brought it up.
I said I'm sorry I brought this up.
I saw another Bill
Gates.
That's
exactly what he just said.
I saw another Bill Gates note that he rode coach up until he already had $36 billion. That was
come on.
He stopped riding coach.
Come on. He wasn't flying around in his own plane?
See, I'm not even surprised about the first class part, but Eric's point, like, $36 billion, you couldn't.
I read it on Twitter, so I can't.
Start
your own
private
your
planes?
Own wheels?
Yeah. You're still rich. Stop brushing it off. All right, Leo writes in.
I don't fault anybody. If you have the money to not ride coach, why would you ever ride coach?
Never.
Of course not.
Like,
especially nowadays with what they're doing in first class and even business class.
Right.
With the cabins.
What are they doing?
Oh, my God. Have you seen?
He made it sound enticing.
I wouldn't know.
Have you seen what the stewardesses do up there?
I think you've heard of Etihad Airlines. It's like it's in the Middle East.
What?
Etihad.
Oh.
It's like the Emirates. It's like one of those
airlines. Yeah.
They have a first class cabin, private cabin for two passengers that has three different rooms, a bedroom and a shower bathroom. For like $44,000 or something, but I mean, like
$44,000.
I mean, that's like the highest.
$36 billion, $44,000 is
nothing.
Irrelevant.
Right.
But at what point? Like, but at what point do you have enough money to like, I could do that, or how much more is it to just get my own plane?
Just rent a jet.
But you know,
the greater question is, what are you proving by riding coach? Like, what is that?
He wants to show how common he is. And, you know,
but I think every person who rides coach is common and would not ride coach if they didn't have to.
Absolutely.
Like the common man would get the hell out of coach if he could.
That's why they're also improving the coach class seats to try to give them more leg room to make it feel a little bit more comfortable so you don't feel like you're sitting like this for 8 hours.
Leo writes in, I was listening to your podcast on my way home yesterday and a couple of things jumped out. It is so irritating when Andy and Paul keep talking about good Brady and bad Brady and who will show up. First of all, there is no such thing as bad Brady.
Wait, can I interrupt real quick?
Before you flip out, Andy.
No, but I need to make sure he knows where it comes from, our webmaster, Chris Ferreira. It's an inside PFW in progress joke. Chris Ferreira believes there's a bad Brady, and early in the season he existed and in halves of games, and I always go get a check-in, and over the last month he has said, bad Brady's back. I use him as the barometer of
so
the man.
It's not
of the
you and Paul saying
it's Patriots super fans.
Before you flip out, Andy, finish reading. There is only a good offensive line and a bad offensive line, and we should worry about which shows up. Before you say any quarterback looks good with plenty of time to throw, let me tell you that's not true.
That's Paul.
Otherwise, Dalton, Schaub, Sanchez, and the likes would have been elite. If you look at Pro Football Stats correlation between pressure on Brady and his rating, you can see that every single one of his bad games, the rating, has been under a lot of pressure. That doesn't mean he is always bad under pressure. There are games when he was good even under pressure, and he has always been under pressure in recent playoff games. It's not fair to expect him to play great under pressure at 37. He got us three Super Bowls and always keeps us in contention. He went through playing with the likes of Rashay Caldwell, Doug Gabriel, and the likes and never complained about it. He is playing for well below market value for a player with his talent and experience. Show the man some respect. He deserves it, unlike you two fools.
I'm not so sure he never complained about it either.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I mean, maybe not publicly.
Now I understand. But I always ask you, like, when are we allowed to ever say that Brady had a bad game? The answer was just given to us. Never.
Never.
Because if he has a bad game, that meant he was under pressure, so it wasn't his fault.
And he can't be expected to play under pressure at age 37.
Exactly.
Right?
And again,
you're not going to find bigger Brady fans than this show. I mean, it's ridiculous.
His annual salary right now is well below market value.
Next year.
Right, next year. But the totality of that contract is well at market value. It's just different from when he got the big money.
He has more money than virtually every quarterback in the league except for Peyton Manning.
By salary.
Right.
I didn't know.
I was going to say by
Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit underpaid, finishing up his 8-year, $100 million contract, which is only, what is that?
8 times 10 is 80, 20.
Yeah,
12 million a year, right?
Yep.
That's underpaid for what he just tied for the NFL lead in yardage. He took his team to the playoffs. He has multiple Super Bowl rings. So I haven't heard this hue and cry about how Ben Roethlisberger is such a nice guy because he plays for only $12 million a year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Have I missed those stories in Sports Illustrated
because
and everybody raving?
Because Fred just alluded to this. He got the fancy $100 million contract, so no one considers him underpaid.
But
Brady didn't get that big fancy $100 million contract, but he's made that money throughout his career. Fred just pointed it out.
Just because
when you restructure and you get $57 million over the span of 3 years, just because they didn't call it a $57 million contract doesn't mean it wasn't.
But all I hear is Brady's going to play for well below market value at $8, $9, and $10 million.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger's been playing below market value for the last whenever it jumped up to $20 million a year, and he's still making 11.
Well, because it's just perception.
Because he's not Brady.
It's no.
Because he rapes girls and no one likes him.
Well, that could be, but it's also
that's part of it.
It's all perception too. It's you have these number of renegotiations with Brady that bring it out into the public.
But they bump the number up.
No,
and
I understand.
People perceive it,
but,
Fred.
But with Roethlisberger, it's been one contract, and it hasn't been.
And he just played it out at below market value.
But people perceive those restructures
as
Brady doing something for the team.
I know that.
When in reality, it's the opposite. Right. He's getting something from the team.
I think it's good that Brady's willing to talk about this stuff, but he makes no less money when he does.
And don't get me wrong. Brady is flexible. Brady has been flexible.
Yes.
As the team has been flexible, they've worked together. Now, the specifics of who's cheap, who's spending money, who's taking advantage of the other, I don't think really exist because I think they both have been flexible with each other.
Right. And I think both parties have done a good job of recognizing what's important, and that's the goal to win, as opposed to saying, listen, don't say that Tom Brady is not making fair market value. We're giving him this. And Brady saying, I don't have the $120 million contract that Peyton Manning has.
It's almost like they set Brady up and they kind of use his contract as a home equity loan. You know, they draw off it when they have to, but you have to pay a little interest when you do that.
That's
well
said,
yep.
Fred.
So. Yeah, I like it.
All right.
But the other part with
with
how we feel about Brady, I think this
I don't understand how I'm a hater when on this show I get made fun of as the biggest homer.
Yeah, on this show,
for Brady.
Don't
5 years after Brady's done, Andy will tell us he's done.
Don't lump Andy in with me. I'm the one who's
the hater.
That's not true. I have been fairly critical of Brady in the postseason over the last several years. And I will admit that. I'd have no problem with saying that. I don't think he's played as well in the playoffs
and I think it's fair
as he does
to,
in the regular season.
It's very fair to bring that up because if it was any other quarterback like a Manning, we'd be bringing in his numbers were down in the playoffs. We'd be bringing that up as this is why the Patriots are going to win the game.
Well, Brady would be in trouble if he didn't have the 10-0 three Super Bowls.
Right. You know, talk about equity. I mean, he stored a lot of equity by going 10-0 in his first 10 playoff games.
But he did that.
But if he was 10-8, what is his record in the playoffs? He's 18-8. 18-8,
I believe.
Right?
10-0 plus 8-8.
Okay.
I believe.
But if he was 18-8 in the playoffs, and that was his postseason record, but it was win 2, lose 1, win 3, lose 2, and he had, at the end of the whole thing, he had three titles, but they didn't all come at the beginning the way it did. He wouldn't be perceived the way he is.
Paul's right. Yeah. Then he's Joe Flacco. I mean, he's not all the way there yet, but he's 10-4.
He can get hot.
He's got a Super Bowl. He was great in one of those.
Watch out. He can get hot, and they can go on a run.
You know every couple of years he's going to be winning the Super Bowl or whatever.
But he won them all at the beginning, and that became his legacy. That's it. That Tom Brady is the ultimate winner.
If Brady were 8-8 with two Super Bowl losses, AFC title loss, a couple one-and-dones, his whole image changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
because he's living off the 10-0 plus.
But
I'm not saying he didn't earn those. Earned them.
My example was keeping the same accomplishments that he had: three titles.
But some would argue
18
wins. A little bit more.
But if you're a Brady hater, you argue once the defense started going away, the 10-0 and the three Super Bowls went away.
And I guess that's probably I don't like when you call me even kidding around. I don't like when you refer to me as a Brady hater. Because
he did say something the other day. Where's
really,
Perillo, that
it's
hater?
It's not really accurate. No, but I don't want people to hear it that way.
Off the podium.
Because it
gave
really,
us a look yesterday.
It really couldn't be further from the truth. But
further?
That's what you just said, I think, is not just a Brady hater that would have to say that. That, to me, is kind of fact. When it was all on him.
But you're a hater.
He won sometimes in the postseason and he lost sometimes in the postseason. Kind of like Peyton Manning.
Right.
Who spent the bulk of his career having it all be on him.
It's true. Yeah,
it's hard when you don't have the well-rounded team to have the ultimate success.
Right.
You can do it once in a while, but it's hard to maintain that the way he did. But he did it with great defenses in 03 and 04. I mean, that was just phenomenal defense.
Yep.
To go along with Brady being great. Yep. He was a big part of them winning.
Brian in Essex about the crow issue. Biggest differences between crows and ravens are the size. Ravens are larger than crows and often travel in pairs, while crows travel in larger groups and are smaller. Crows also caw, while ravens produce a croaking sound. Both crows and ravens belong to the family Corvidae or Corvids in the genus Corvus, which also include rooks, jackdaws, jays, magpies, treepies, choughs, and nutcrackers.
So blue jays and ravens are related?
Jays. I don't know if that means blue jays.
So, Fred, you brought a little bit more to the table than that they're both birds.
Right.
Interesting.
That you gave us.
Yep.
Yep.
So what do you think yours was?
A crow.
Yeah.
I mean, are there wild ravens around here?
I don't know.
I don't think there are.
I don't know.
I may not know the difference had I saw a raven versus a crow. Yeah. I assume it's a crow because you see a lot of crows. The backfield's always filled with crows.
Backfield.
I knew I could get him with that one.
Back where the servants are.
Cookie writes, and I agree with the report crows. From the Baltimore radio station. The Ravens are only having the defensive backs play for 1.5 seconds, and then they believe the pass will be interrupted or Brady will be running for his life. C.J. Mosley is better than Ray Lewis in his final year. Chris Canty, Brandon Williams, Holly Nata, and they will rush up the middle occasionally too.
Yes. Bill talked about that a little bit.
See, that's what the Ravens have to try to do. It's no secret. That's not even giving away a game plan. That's the only way that the Ravens can play. You can't just sit back and think that those guys are going to cover the Patriots conventionally. You have to do it with the pass rush.
So how do the Patriots counter that idea? Is it simply with we're going to get rid of the ball quickly? Is it formations that are going to be extra protection and get rid of the ball quickly? How do you?
I think you need to take some shots. I think you have to sit there and line up and say, listen, every once in a while, we're going to need you to give us some more. We're going to run some double moves, and we're going to try to get down the field. The only success Pittsburgh had the other night was when they tried to push it down the field.
Right.
And ironically, the biggest play that they made, the one to Antonio Brown, they had covered perfectly. They had three guys all around, and they just all got lost.
Yeah.
Darryl Smith was probably the only one not at fault in that. I mean, you can't only ask an inside linebacker who's 50 yards downfield. He was close enough. The two safeties, I think one of them was Will Hill, and the other one was, I wrote about it the other day, too, and I forget his name now. But they just got spun around.
Yeah, I know.
They were there.
They looked like they were, and the ball was in the air for a while.
Right.
Like
they were there
to
make
to
the play, and no one made the play. I think that's how you have to beat them. You have to hope when you take your shots, the protection holds up. And if it doesn't hold up, you take the sack or throw it away and punt. You know, what are you gonna, but I don't think that you can just do our game plan. The Andy Paul, get the ball out, go to, you know, spread them out, dink and dunk. Eventually, you're going to have to get the ball down the field and make some chunk plays.
Spread them and shred them.
Well, you move up the ladder, boop, until you build up to that big play, you know.
Boop.
Rachel from Virginia.
That is some sound effects.
Rachel from Virginia. Ravens are 5-0 against the Patriots in the regular season. Well, that's not true.
That's not true.
Suggs has 5 sacks in those games, but in the playoffs, 2-1. Suggs has 1 sack.
Sucks. Freudian slip.
Suggs has 1 sack and a total of 6 tackles, 2 in each game. So is it fair to say we are expecting a monumental amount of destruction from a guy who has just about been a non-factor versus the Patriots in the playoffs?
I think Matt Light would disagree with you, but that's okay.
I could see if he had just a few sacks but a ton of tackles just in on every play. But he's got 2 tackles in each playoff game. If those were Hightower stats, you guys would be calling him a disappointment. Let's take a step back.
If those were
hashtag playoff
reality. If those were C.J. Mosley stats, I would say that's a disappointment. If C.J. Mosley has 2 tackles, because that's the position that Hightower plays, as opposed to if Chandler Jones only has 2 tackles in the game, I don't think that's a bad game. Especially if one of the tackles is a strip sack, which one of the tackles for Suggs in one of those games was a strip sack.
Dismissed her. 5-0, well, we know that's not true.
Well, that's not
just
true.
Plain
no, I know. But
I think I think the Ravens only beat the Patriots once ever in the regular season.
I will tell you right now.
Right.
In the regular season, that 31-30, are you reffing kidding me, is the only time the Ravens ever beat the Patriots, I think, in a regular season
they
game.
They really didn't win that game.
Thanks to Russ Hochstein.
Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, I wasn't listening. It was like 3 minutes ago. I heard the emailer emailing y'all about bad Brady, good Brady. Did he call one of you guys fools? Like, did he call you a fool?
I think we were called fools. Yeah,
yeah, I think he.
You fools.
Yeah,
wouldn't be
I
the
think
first
that's
time.
What he said. You fools.
Wow, that That's crazy to me. Like, I don't understand why they would insult you guys like that.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah,
we don't
it's.
Care.
I don't take it personally.
Yeah, then we would be Tom Curran.
Right.
Real quick, the Are You Reffing Kidding Me game was the only time the Ravens beat them in the regular
season. Sure.
Yeah, so where did she get 5-0 in the regular season?
I don't know. I think maybe she mixed
5-0 Flacco in his last five. Well, that's not right either.
Yeah.
0-5 is not right.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe Flacco's last five postseason games, he's 5-0. I don't know if that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But she was talking about.
Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was agreeing with the one emailer about Doug's death. I didn't see anything that jumped out to me when he played us in the postseason where he was getting crazy sacks on us. He probably was getting pressure, but he wasn't, like, getting Brady on the ground as far as sacks goes. I think we did a pretty good job on him, and we will this coming Saturday again.
Let me just interrupt for a second. How do you think the passing game looked in those three playoff games against the Ravens?
It didn't look good at all.
Right. So you don't think that Terrell Suggs had something to do with that because he only had one sack?
I do think so, but I don't think it was like how, you know, how we faced the Broncos and Von Miller's killing Brady. I don't think he was just getting back there sacking Brady.
No, I think the Ravens have been more effective than the Broncos have, to be honest with you, because Von Miller will get a couple of sacks, but otherwise will be quiet, and Brady's able to move the ball against the Broncos. Against the Ravens, he can't seem to move the ball. And they don't get a lot of sacks, but they can't move the ball.
I really wonder what happened in that game when we went to Baltimore at the end of the season last year. I think it was last year, 2 years ago, and we blew them out. You know, they weren't getting.
Yeah, we're talking about the three playoff games.
Right.
Everybody's criticizing Suggs for only having one sack in three playoff games. But in those three games, Brady's passer rating was about 50. So they were doing something to knock Brady out of his rhythm. If Suggs wasn't getting sacks and they were doing something to apply enough pressure to cause him to not be able to complete passes.
Thanks, Andrew.
Right?
Yep.
Is that logical?
Sure.
To anybody else?
Yep. There was something there that was bothering.
You know, and I'll say that in the first one of those playoff games, early on in the game, Suggs came right around Matt Light, tomahawk chopped the ball out of Brady's hand for a strip sack.
Yep.
How do you think Vince Wilfork would be as a guard?
Good.
I think he's a good athlete.
Big, strong, athletic.
I think he would be good at pretty much anything you asked him to do within reason on a football
and
field.
I think he'd be a better run-blocking guard than a catcher, pass protect. I think he's an aggressive person by nature.
How'd you have him out there on the on a toss sweep?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd be one of those DBs that would just drop. Coach, no, I was creating a pile. I figured I'd make a pile for everybody else.
You're caught up in the wash.
Secret weapon.
Where'd that come from?
I was just thinking about...
To help the offensive line?
Well, I was just thinking of Nada, and I was thinking of pressure up the middle, and, you know, it's going to be tough.
What do you know about the Brandon Williams?
It would be good to have Wilfork in there blocking him.
Wow.
What do you know about the Brandon Williams guy?
Nothing.
I just find it interesting that they've been playing him on the nose, and I don't know if you've done enough research in this. I haven't. Was that when Nada went out?
I don't know.
Played the nose in those four games, and they kept it that way? Because Nada kind of played on the end.
Yeah.
In their three, I know that Ozzie doesn't like to admit that they play a 3-4, but you only have three defensive linemen.
You don't have to bring up skeletons from my closet. And also, I didn't really realize that Yend is playing tackle now, right tackle?
Yes, right tackle.
Yeah.
And he's been a hand? I guess he's been pretty good at it.
Yeah. I heard Ninkovic talking a little bit about it and that matchup.
He thinks
and,
he's pretty good.
You know, he's a guard, but he's tackle and Wilfork and, I mean, Mankins and sort of that comparison of him playing tackle, blah, blah, blah.
I just, Fred's the best.
No, I was just thinking it'd be nice to have Wilfork playing guard. What is that? Like, it'd be nice to have Gronk playing defensive end, I guess.
No, that
wouldn't work. That's ridiculous.
So. Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
That's ridiculous, he said.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. We're ready for you to bring it.
I've been waiting all week to chime in on this matchup. And, you know, I want to talk about the mindset of the football game on Sunday. You know, if I'm the Patriots, I'm looking at this as payback. I'm looking at this as a grudge that will never, ever go away. You know, the road to the Super Bowl starts with matching and surpassing the physicality of this Ravens front seven. To me, it's simple. You got to go in there. You got to start no huddle. Go start up-tempo. We got to tire down these old men in Nada and Suggs and Doomerville. We got to get these guys tired early. You know, and by doing that, it's got to be an up-tempo game. I agree. We got to spread this thing out. As much as I love this power running game, that, to me, is what we've got to see in that third and fourth quarter in terms of just wearing this team down. This is a physical game. This is a game where the Swiss Army knife presents itself. We say, you know, I've been saying all year, this is the Swiss Army knife in an offense. You know, we got new weapons every single week. This week, we got to pull it out with something fast, and then we got to pull out that hammer in the second half. To me, it's no mercy, no fear. We got to beat this team into submission. We got to demoralize this Baltimore team, the city. I want blood. I want these guys to go down in flames, and I want whoever our opponent is next week to know this team ain't effing around. This team's going out to beat some ass, and I want America to bow down. This is our year, Fan Nation. It's time to get loud. Whether you're in front of a TV set, you're in front of, you're in that stadium, you got to get loud. It's time to show some support. I believe in this team. This is our year, and that's all I got. Over and out.
Woo! Chester, bringing it. Bringing it. So, that's the way I feel, too.
Yeah, yeah, but you used to say that and do that. Now you just go, I kind of feel like that, too.
Now it just waits for Chester to do
right.
it.
Right. I mean, what happened?
No. It's really embarrassing.
I think I started out the week pretty strong.
You didn't.
No.
I saw the fear in your
afraid.
Eyes from one of
up.
The first shot.
I'm not afraid.
You saying it doesn't make
sense. Well, you afraid? I'm not afraid.
Right. Yeah, you Everett fought it. You were hiding behind somebody who's, let me at him.
Oh. I can say what an Everett fight is. You can't.
By the way, just in full information mode for PFW, Chandler Jones' brother went into rehab yesterday after his weekend
Really?
Fight.
I thought it was just John Bones Jones.
Paul is in a fight with EEI in 98.5 because they didn't say John Bones Jones, comma, Chandler Jones' brother, comma, went into rehab.
Like they did when he retained his title over the weekend.
Oh, really? As recently as the weekend they were doing that?
Oh, see, that's a good point.
But
though.
You think they're protecting Chandler?
Yes, of course.
Does he need protecting?
More importantly, they're protecting the Patriots.
If they're reporting on a good story with him and they mention Chandler, and then they report on a bad story and don't mention Chandler,
Andy hit the nail on the head. How do you know who John Bones Jones is?
I know him from the fact that Chandler's his brother.
Right. And I would say UFC is big, but not everybody knows.
Well, but that's the thing. I'm not a UFC guy.
But he's,
no, but people listening to EEI in the sports
some
hub,
might be.
In general, aren't huge UFC fans. I don't know UFC from a hole in the wall. But I know who Bones Jones is because of Chandler Jones.
I trained for it, but I don't.
you look it.
Is that a fourth sport you're going to beat Andy at?
Easily.
Oh, man. Can you imagine us? He would die. His ticker would just stop ticking.
I probably would. I'd go all, balls to the wall and fall down in like 30 seconds.
And no, you'd probably beat me because you have a wrestling background, right?
30 seconds? Yeah.
You wouldn't let me get close to you, though. It's not about pinning the guy. Well, I guess you do.
If you get you down. You don't pin him, but if you get him down, it's about
submission
moves and different things.
And you're stronger than me, so I don't think I could make you submit.
And that's what actually Bones Jones did this weekend. It was ridiculous. He had like a 13-inch reach advantage in the fight.
13?
Yeah. And the other guy is a former Olympic wrestler. That's, you know how they all sort of have their strengths. They do everything, but they, and everybody, well, he's going to try to get him down, and he could never get him down. John kept his distance with elbows and punching, and the guy never got him down, and he never had a chance to win the fight.
Right.
In a related brotherly thing, while we're digging up dirt on brothers, I was watching the Iowa game the other day, and I had forgotten that Hernandez's brother is a coach.
A coach there, yeah. DJ.
They showed the sideline, and literally for half a second, I'm like, oh, my God, Aaron Hernandez is coaching.
He does look like
he has that same, like, they get that haircut where it's got the perfect.
Squared up to the forehead.
And I was like, holy crap. It was like a flashback.
It's called
almost.
A lineup.
Is it?
Yeah.
A lineup?
A lineup. Yep.
That's to me.
Can I get one of those? Or do you have to be black?
You might be able to.
Or
depends on your hair. You have to have.
I couldn't
you
do it,
You have
Fred.
To be able to go straight across.
Fred, I couldn't do it.
I'd have the widow's peak. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's what that's called, is it?
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
A widow's peak?
These things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it goes in, it just has a little tuft in
the little indentations in your hair. Like, I've heard that.
Like Phil Collins had that.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't heard the whole theater for the operating room. But
a widow's peak.
I've heard widow's peak.
What is it? Cowlick.
Cowlick is when you have
your hair
like
goes the opposite.
You
curl
have. In your hair.
Yeah,
you have one of those. Yeah.
The hair sort of goes the opposite way of the
widow's peak. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a hair term. Because that's where the tops of the houses have the round rooms with the glass, right?
Cowlick is when you give oral to Adele. Oh no, that's terrible.
What? To Adele? What does that mean?
That singer.
That's
the
a
big
widow's
fat
walk,
singer.
By the way.
Oh!
Widow's watch.
Oh yeah, widow's
watch.
Watch. Yeah.
They're waiting for the ships to come in.
No, I know. Yeah.
Andrew from Red Bank, what does the Kevin
gave
Hart
oral to Adele?
What does the Kevin Hart Index or whatever it's called say about the playoff teams this weekend? Really, Patriots versus Ravens. How do
Patriots.
The rest of the teams rank?
What? Patriots. Ravens were very lowly ranked in the Wilson Hart. One of the lowest.
Then why is that? And if they're so good, is there a flaw in the rankings?
No, they didn't.
Wait a minute. Why are they so good? You've been telling me all week why you're not afraid.
I'm telling you, he's saying that.
No. I have told you all week that it's not about how good they are. It's about the matchup, the singular matchup of their defensive line against Patriots offensive
you
line.
You really don't listen.
You fraudulent.
That's the one who's been telling us how good they are.
He almost swore there. But what it would tell us is that the Patriots and the Seahawks are supposed to meet in the Super Bowl because those are the 1 and 2 teams, and the number one team generally makes the Super Bowl.
What happened to Green Bay? They fall in the last week?
I believe they're 3.
I thought Green Bay was 1 or 2.
I don't.
Well, they won, Paul, so they have to
maybe
drop.
They are. I don't even remember.
Good point. I forgot that they won. In week 17.
I can take you all. One room.
I forgot they had a winner-take-all game against Detroit, and they won it.
Handicap match, and by I mean handicap, you're going to leave here all handicapped.
Rachel corrects herself. She meant that the Patriots are 5-0 versus the Ravens in the regular season. That's wrong.
That's
not
right.
There's no O.
Fred's just as mad. Well, that's not wrong. That's wrong.
Our girl Kat in Chicago, by the way.
How's Amendola?
As she is wont to do. She's very good with everything except, flipping houses and getting houses done on time. She made it very simple. If it has a yellow beak, it's a crow. If it has a black beak, it's a raven.
Oh, there you go. All right.
So none of that other whatever.
If it has a black beak, it's a raven?
I believe that's what she said.
Yellow beak, it's
then
a crow.
Then I have a lot of ravens in my neighborhood.
Well,
I thought they were crows.
The hills of North Providence?
Some of my best friends are ravens.
What?
Yes, there.
What the hell is he talking about?
If a black beak, it's probably a raven. Yellow, a crow. Yes, there are wild ravens in New England.
Isn't there some yellow in the Ravens logo?
Yes.
On the.
I thought it was in their eye.
Yeah. No, that's
maybe
the purple.
It's in the eye. Maybe
I
it's
thought
in
that
the
was
eye.
The purple.
So
the
raven.
She's the
Raven Simone,
and she used to be on Cosby, right?
Right. She was the.
She was
the
molested
one.
By Cosby. I don't know. I'm just going with the odds.
Want a little pudding pop? Christine in New Jersey writes in,
98.5, you'd get spoken to after the show for that.
Hey, so what have you guys been talking about? I wasn't here the last 5 minutes.
Christine in New
Paul
Jersey
Paul Perillo
says,
was not on the show the last 5 minutes.
We need to see Brady come out of the tunnel fired up and
he
screaming
will.
Like a little girl. Went to the AFC Championship game versus
girl?
The Ravens 2 years ago, and he came out of the tunnel very sullen. I knew we were in trouble. I want to see him in the tunnel fired up.
He will be. I think he and Gronk are going to come out frothing.
I think it's more important.
Brady better put his helmet on
that
though,
you see Brady all fired up.
You know, like that kid from
college football,
right, exactly. Headbutting people in the middle of the circle.
But I think it's more important that you see Brady all fired up, say about halfway through the first quarter.
Not salty,
end of the first quarter.
Right.
That's when I don't want to see the sullen Brady. Right.
And I'm not sure I agree with the screaming like a little girl.
I don't need my quarterback to be all wired up.
Well, I think usually when I say like a little girl, it has a bad.
I want him to be an assassin,
and I know
I
that's
want him
not
to be
okay
a quiet assassin where he just picks them apart.
He was like that before the
American
before the first
sniper.
Super Bowl
yes.
in that
when he was
with Bledsoe.
Yeah, and I don't want to see another offensive performance like that. I think they need to do more. Than
I think
that.
You're right.
That
you're
was
right.
the start of bad playoff Brady.
No.
No.
What? That was
Come
the start
on.
Of Brady.
Haters gonna hate.
But even the biggest hater wouldn't say that. I mean, that's a whole different Brady. As Fred likes
well,
to say, that
said,
wasn't.
No,
that wasn't
I want
Brady.
An actual good player performance.
No, but like the whole. I mean, they did nothing on offense that day.
Oh, so he rode the defense to test.
Yes. And the first Super Bowl?
So he's never been good in the postseason.
No, he was phenomenal in 2003 and 2004. You don't think there was a difference between 2001 and 2003 and 2004?
Just stop.
Stop it.
I mean, you seriously don't think there was a difference between the performance
no, I do.
He
Obviously.
Had the first year?
Obviously. He got in that shootout with Del Ome.
Yeah.
Alex in Somerset.
Like of the home.
Of the man.
They put 13 points
in Alex
the
in Somerset says, hey, did you hear no, your guy Paul say that?
I'm speaking Spanish.
Del Ombre, then.
Right, but it's Del Ome.
Oh, God.
That's French.
Yeah, but I'm in Spanish.
Why?
You
in
I
Spanish.
Want to. That's the only thing
all
I
right,
know.
All right.
Unlike you, I don't pretend I know all the languages.
Is that it? He's the man? Jake?
That's
of the
what
man.
He says.
Of the man.
Alex in Somerset says, hey, did you hear your guy Paul say that this Ravens team is better than the 2013 Ravens that beat the Patriots? I think he meant 12.
Yes.
Stating things like Steve Smith is better than Bolden and an improved
Didn't
line backing core. Really? No Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, or Bolden. and they're better now.
Yes.
The same Ravens that squeezed into the playoffs as a sixth seed.
Yes,
and choked
that Ravens team
to
squeezed
the
into the playoffs,
who choked
too.
Their way into allowing the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yes.
Speak some sense into the Bledsoe lover. A Super Bowl winning team is not better than this sixth seed.
What was they? What were the Ravens seeded?
They were sixth seed. When
they were either
Super
five
Bowl.
Or six.
Yeah. They were a wild card team.
Yeah,
they were either five or six.
Right,
I believe they were.
Oh, they might have been five.
I believe they were six.
Did they have all road games?
Oh no,
I
you know
think
what?
They won
they
the
were
first
four.
Game.
They were
right.
four.
Right.
Okay, they did get a home game. Then they went on the road.
Yeah.
Okay, but you completely said things that weren't true. Steve Smith in the regular season in 2014 was better than Anquan Boldin in the regular season in 2012. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. But Steve Smith had a better year this year than Anquan Boldin had that year.
Oh, yeah, that's fact, not opinion.
He turned it up in the playoffs.
Not even
he
close
was a different
to...
player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
C.J. Mosley is 1,000 times better than Ray Lewis was in 2012. Plus, Ray Lewis missed half the year in 2012 when he came back from a torn triceps.
Oh, that's
I know that. I know that never happened.
Deer antler. The deer antler stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The spray.
I heard a little bit of your thing, by the way. I heard
He's
a lot
pointing
of...
at me.
Fred, sorry. I heard a lot of people ripping the Ravens, like you hold everything that's ever happened to that organization against them.
Oh, I do.
And you can't possibly root for them.
Oh.
I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, I think you need to be careful about the stones you throw.
Yeah.
Just compare now to now. Who's on the field? Let's leave murderers, ex-murderers, wife beaters, anything out of it. And just, you know, talk about the guys on the field. If you want to criticize Terrell Suggs and say Suggs is a thug, I agree with you 1,000%, but I don't think you want to start trying to compare histories and legacies, and let's just stick to the here and now.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are a renegade team like the Seahawks. I always make fun of the Seahawks. I think the Ravens are very similar, but I don't say, well, I can't root for that team. Careful who you're rooting for. You don't know who you're rooting for.
Right.
Anywhere. I mean, we obviously have a very high-profile thing that was sort of tough for us to deal with.
Right.
I'm not... Right. Casting aspersions on who I say you shouldn't be able to root
unless
for
you know
what kind of person are you rooting
all
for.
All 53 guys are Saints,
and you don't.
Even if you know them or not, you can't control that.
But
how do you deal with it once it happens?
The Ravens thing
is the Patriots have dealt with those things better than the Ravens have dealt with those things.
Oh yeah, they could not have bungled the Ray Rice thing. Them in the league.
The Ravens. Right. The Ravens are horrible. I mean, they're horrible.
They have multiple
suspensions, multiple arrests. There's a lot of bad stuff going on.
Forget about Jamal Lewis, cocaine guy, right?
Yeah.
He was arrested for
I'm not counting up arrests because I'm not sure that's
my point.
I'm not sure
that
ledger's going to get to where I think it might be.
Let's just talk about the here and now in these teams and the coaches.
Nick Kazier. I mean, like, I'm not sure I want to start, like, adding them up.
Let's just leave it be. History's be and play this game. And I know for a fact Suggs is a thug. There's at least one thug on the field.
I wonder why.
I don't know who else is or isn't, but there's a thug on the field. He plays for them.
John Rutt's here, and he's no thug. Hey, John.
Thank you. But I like the thug mantra. I really do. I appreciate that.
Are you embracing on it?
Are you embracing it?
That's why he's got the
track suit on. You shouldn't have gone with gray then. You go with the black.
I know. But you know what? You see me wearing black in here all the time.
How was Hinkle?
Hinkle is outstanding.
Yeah.
Hinkle Fieldhouse, if you've never gone before to the historic Hinkle Field, by the way, it's on the National Historic Landmark list. I don't know if you knew that or not. 87-year-old building.
You know why I didn't get to go?
Because
Fred decided we had to have a Saturday show the last time we were in the Super Bowl.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Next time you get to go to Indy, try to get out to Hinkle Fieldhouse and see it.
Yeah, they just
put $36 million of renewals into it, and it still has the great arch that you see in the movie Hoosiers, but they've put in seats. They fixed up all the it really is a nice job of mixing old with new, and you still
it's
walk
hard
in
to do, too.
And you get very hard.
Yeah, ask the Bears.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
With Soldier Field. That's exactly right.
Soldier Field was awesome before the renovation.
And then they screwed it up. I hear you. So I really can appreciate the historical aspect of it. And when you walk in the building, it feels like a gym. It's not an arena. It's a gym. It's a great throwback to the 50s. Love that. And it was great. Friars played well last night, too, in the second half. So it was good W.
All right, this edition of Architecture Today is
followed by Friar's Beat.
Listen, that may be
and fantasies.
That may be the nicest thing anybody has ever said to me.
You're not a thug?
Because I know, no, well, besides that, because, you know, I can't put, you know, popsicle sticks together. So the fact that you think that architecture is, you know, one of my, you know, bailiwicks here, then I'm really very happy.
What do you got today?
Well, technically today, it's hashtag WTF Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. Whatever.
But the focus is on, I think we're kind of looking at the Ravens in a little different, you know, in several different categories. So I'm going to ask our listeners today, really, who on the Ravens is the one person you're most concerned about?
Okay.
There's got to be several guys. I know there's Torrey Smith, there's Steve Smith, there's Terrell Suggs, all of them.
Right.
But which one really worries you the most from the Patriots' perspective that you think could come in, do the most damage, and maybe lead his Ravens team to a W?
Nata. You have a Nata problem.
There's another one, too.
Sounds good. Well, that's going to do it for
it's
us.
It's not the problem.
Bob
oh,
Sosa's at four.
The problem.
We got to get going. I got to do an Al Roker. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh.
Al Roker? Yeah, poop his pants. What? Well, poop his pants.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.